Blog Talk Radio.
Journeyman here on Psychic X Journeyman Spiritual Link Talk Radio here on Block Talk Radio. Welcome to the show. How you guys all doing? Hope you all doing great. So if you aren't, maybe we can help you out tonight. So therefore, if you want to call and get a reading, please do so at 646-721-9031. That number again is 646-721-9031. If you're a person who would like to take your situation more private, I would just like to get a private reading. Please give us a call at 740-500-8863. We're having an April special where you can actually get three 90-minute sessions for only $100. Also, on the same deal, you could also get five 30-minute sessions for $100 in case you're a person that likes to do it in 30-minute intervals instead of the 90 minutes. Gives you a little more choices. And we also have to do a lot of things. So if you want to check out and see all the things that we do, go to my website at www.psychicxjourneyman.com. Again, that's PsychicX. Let's try this again. www.psychicxjourneyman.com. All right. If you right now, I'm actually in the midst of trying to pull up the chat room, and for some reason, there seems to be some kind of craziness with the chat, or as you say, the connection with the chat. Let's see. I'm still trying to bring it up, so they should be up momentarily. So just bear with us and that kind of thing. So if you got any calls, any questions, or anything like that, just give us a call. We'd be glad to help you out. We can ask. You can ask any questions you want about anything. The idea of the situation, whatever it may be. Let's see if you're in the chat room. If you want to ask a couple questions, please do so. But we'd like to urge everybody to come on the show to actually get a reading. It's a little easier to do it that way. See, that's a nice Wednesday night. It's 8:03 p.m. here in the mountains. So I guess that's 8:03 mountain time, p.m. Also, it's April 10th, 2013, which it sounds like it's getting a little crazy, isn't it? Going into our freaking summer months. Can't wait. Actually, get that weather coming on. And also, I want to sit here and talk about the situation, too, that we also have a shop here in Manitou Springs, Colorado. So if you're actually in Colorado or plan on making a trip, so if you're at in the country itself, you'll plan on making a trip out here, you'll be in Manitou Springs, please stop by the shop at 946 and a half Manitou Avenue. That's right next to Flying Eagle. And it's actually between Santa Fe, I think it's Santa Fe store. I'm not sure exactly where they sell everything in that store, from moccasins to clothing to T-shirts to also figurines and that kind of stuff too as well. But it's between Santa Fe and the Flying Eagle T-shirt shop, or right across from Monday, Mushroom Mondays. So yeah, drop in, get a reading in person. Nothing like it, and you should give it a shot. Sometimes it's one of the best experiences, and it's actually one of the things I like to do the most is the idea of talking with people and that kind of stuff. Also, I'll give it a shout out for the idea of how we're actually being able to broadcast you right now. The more clear connection is the ideal of Straight Talk. I have a Straight Talk phone, so therefore we have a really good system, and I think Straight Talk is a really good phone. So right now, I used to be with Sprint, and I was paying like $150 a month. Now, I don't pay over $45 a month ever. And it is a little different with the situation. You have to buy the phones out, but they do have situations with phones and that kind of too. So if you ever have a damaged phone, you can actually replace it. So, you know, you're covering all kinds of things. So if you want to check it out and see what Straight Talk's all about, go to Walmart. Your local Walmart in the electronics section has Straight Talk. And also, if you want to, you can go on the internet at www.psychicx.com. That's me. Anyway, let's try it one more time. Go to www.straighttalk.com. If you're a person who's looking for more experiences in your meditation, or just looking for a better way to meditate, or you're looking for a way to actually meditate itself to relax more, go to www.hemisync.com. They have some great CDs. It's a different kind of technology with has a tone underneath the music that actually enables you to work in the way of having both hemispheres of your brain working together, which will give you intense focus and concentration. If you're a person who would rather go the route of, and they do have some minimal CDs too as well. They also have MP3 downloads. You can download and be using those meditations in less than 2 seconds, depending on your computer, of course. There's another company too called BrainThink, www.brainthink.com. And that's some great stuff too as well. Subliminal CDs and the idea of subliminal messages and that kind of stuff seems to be a whole lot easier and a whole lot better than it was back in the 70s, and the idea of what you can do and what you can't do with it. So the technology has really increased and really improved. So therefore, give them a shot. Guarantee you that they work really good because I use them myself. Let's see. So let's go back and say, okay, we got some people in the chat room. We're sitting here saying hello to everybody. So if you need any information or anything like that, just give me a call. Just IM me if you want to ask a question. If you want to keep it private, then fine, do it. If not, just let us have it and we'll answer on the air. All right, let's see. Boom, 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 boom. Let's also go over there. I think we actually have a co-host with me today, which is easy here most of the time. Her name is Heather. Are you there, Heather?
I'm here.
So how's it going with you?
How's it going with me? Well, I'm snuggly and warm, and I'm not in the closet tonight.
That's good. It's about time you come out. Anyway.
I know. It's about time I came out of that closet, huh?
Yeah. It's one of those things. So, therefore, I guess you're at home with a blanket wrapped around yourself, because it is pretty cold tonight. I think what was the high today, anyway? It's like, right now it's 26 degrees. They said it was 31 degrees a while ago. I didn't look at the freaking wind chill factor, but I'm pretty sure it was a little bit colder than that. So with that in mind, you also said that you wanted to also share some things with our audience before we go into taking calls. So if you want to go ahead and do that, go right ahead.
I did, but we don't have to.
Okay, just take a deep breath and say it's okay, so do it.
It's okay. I'm sitting on the spot. Let me put my little... So the little soul in the sun. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you fine. I think I think it kind of worries you. We can hear you clearly. So go right ahead. It's okay. We used to turn it into that. We kind of did an analogy with the movie Serendipity. Well, now the idea of how sometimes we get so obsessed about certain things, and as soon as we let go... things have a tendency to fall into place just like they were supposed to in the first place. Just one of those learning lessons. Yeah, the thing we got kind of crazy about with the serendipity thing was the idea of certain things they had in the movie, okay? You've seen the movie yourself.
Yeah.
The most incredible parts about the movie was the first part where they actually pushed the same button on the elevator. So it was destined to happen. It was just a lot of chaos on his part, and she went straight to the top. She sat there and waited, but she also got impatient. See, if she would have waited another 5 minutes, it would have happened. So they both had their own little issues of doubt. And then one part I liked the most, what really clarified their focus on why they needed to just let go and see what happened, was when his fiance gave him the book that she had sent out to the universe with the girl he was looking for, not his fiance. His fiance gave him a groom's gift, and it just happened to be that book that Sarah Thomas had put her name in. And it was kind of funny how the part when she did it, she said, "I'll write my name in the book, and then when I get it, then you'll believe in fate." And if you see him in the limousine when he's with his buddy, and he unwraps the gift, and it's a book, and it just happened to have her number in it, you know what I'm saying? So he's freaking out. So at that time, you can also see in his face, see in the character he's playing, all of a sudden he's relaxed and calm, and he realizes it's not the ideal, realistically. It was a couple of things that came into play first to also get him to physically do it, but there was definitely a realization when he got that book that he was supposed to be with her. It was kind of some kind of variations in the situation where he flew to, I'm not sure exactly where she lived at. She must have lived on the outskirts of something, but I knew it was in California. But sure, it didn't look like L.A. to me. I know what L.A. looks like, and it's not it. Anyway, but it's just one of those things we have a tendency to realize that sometimes with these situations, this points out that it's places that we don't want to be at in the process of these things falling apart. That in the movie, you can see a part where they're clearing out that whole thing. They're getting things squared away. They're telling the fiancés this is not what they really want. It has nothing to do with them. They still care about them. It's just not what they want. They have a prompting for somebody else. They're looking for their soulmate. They're going to find it. They're twin flame, whatever. But the situation was, it shows two situations here, almost on the same level, with most of the times, if you sit here and look at people and these true connections, you'll usually see similarities in their lives when they come together of the same thing they were doing. They just wasn't doing it together. Even in the movie, I was kind of freaking out. They crossed paths in seconds. But never quite clicked, you know? And the universe, at the end, you can see the way she talks about the star cluster. And right then you realize the universe is lining itself up. Just not quite yet.
I think it's funny at the end. He just kind of gives up. He's like, okay. I know this is what's supposed to be. I have no control. I'm trusting.
But she had her mistrust there when she got on the airplane and she was going home, and all of a sudden she gets the $5 bill, his phone number he put out in the universe. They both got it.
He's the one that didn't trust in the beginning. He didn't believe all of that. And so in the end, that's what I thought was funny, is he's like, okay, I give up. I surrender.
I still get a kick out of their friends. Their friends are getting really flustered with the whole thing, you know. His friends going, they should make a pill for this. You deal with people doing this kind of crazy stuff. But, you know, I liked her face. He gets the book. He's calm about it, right? When she finds the file of the bill, she's like in hyper mode. I got to go. So she was, it was kind of a reversal on the thing compared to the first part of the movie where he's in the chaos and he's in the elevator and people are getting in the elevator and he's kind of like all energetic about the whole thing. Come on, guys, get back in the elevator, let's go. He checked every freaking floor.
Okay, well, how about this? On that note, on the note of serendipity, how do you see those signs? How do you find the one?
Well, if you see in the movie, you don't find them. They find you.
Well, I know that, but how do you look for signs? What signs? What are they? What do they look like? What is it?
In that movie, what they look like. I think it's how it resonates with you. You see the signs all the time. It's just the idea of, like with that movie, you sit and look at the movie. In the first part, he's questioning everything. So is she, on different levels. But the funny thing about it, as they were questioning it, she was more sincere about the whole thing. She went and pushed the buttons and went straight to the top. He didn't. He checked every freaking room. So he was getting the signs just like she was. See, this is a perfect example of the thing we saw before. Both sides see it. One embraces it and one questions it in the process of going through his chaos. We do have situations where nobody questions it. Those are the ones we always see that usually meet each other after about 2 weeks and get married, spend the rest of their lives together because they have an instant realization. Or some people call that love at first sight. And they say, can you actually have love at first sight? Yes, you can. Not love at first chemical, but you can definitely have love at first sight because it's the idea of seeing things for what they really are. Well, people look for chemistry, you know, chemistry and physical. Think of that's what they're looking for. That's the thing that actually confuses people. You consider and see it clearly with the clients I've worked with who sit there and say, well, this guy's acting like this. This guy's acting like this. He's doing da-da-da. See, they're not paying attention to the connection and the feeling they have. They're going by action, the physical part. So they're looking for chemistry and the physical part to tell them something, but it confuses them. It's not until they actually step back. If you see the movie, it wasn't until they gave up and gave into the universe that they started seeing the signs very clearly, because like she saw the star cluster. She knew something was going to happen. And then he got the book, and he knew something was going to happen. But there was also a realization, too, of what they needed to let go of. And once they let go of those, then they really went into the mode of, like, I'm done.
You know, honestly, it goes right back down to trusting, living in the moment, letting go, just allowing things, the universe to step in and do what it does for us.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically all it is.
Yeah. Yeah, so, well, in the movie, they're also showing you that things lined up when they first met. It was them not trusting themselves. And then at the end, that's when they did trust themselves. I mean, he was so freaking relaxed. He was actually laying in the middle of the rink. And he didn't realize the connections they both had. He had more of a connection to her, in some sense of the word, of the things he had. Like, he should have looked at it more clearly himself. He actually had her jacket, and he had one of the gloves. He was actually using her jacket for a pillow. He had the glove, and it's kind of, you know, kind of a focusing. He was kind of reminiscing about the glove itself. And then at the we notice at the end, New York. It's New York City, and all the flakes are falling from the ceiling. No, I'm just kidding. all the things would fall in place. He's almost like there's something about him subconsciously. He knew something was going to happen. They both did, because if you notice at the end of the movie, he lays in the freaking rink. It starts snowing. All of a sudden, this glove comes out of nowhere. See, she was so sure about the whole thing, but she wasn't either. So she threw the glove to see what kind of response he would get. When he turned around and he was staring intensely on her, that's when she started crying and realizing that she was right the whole time. And then he starts crying because he was kind of like, what a doubtful.
I don't remember him crying.
Oh, really? You got to watch again.
I guess so. I don't remember him crying. I've never seen, I don't know. I don't remember him crying.
It's one of those situations, that, depending on how you look at it, when I see someone's eyes tear up, to me that's crying. You got to look at
that's
it. Cause yeah, just watch. I guess we'll have to get that movie again, right?
Watch it again.
No, you just for research, right? I got to see the past. I got to see that last little thing at the end and see that he really cried. That'll set the whole movie off on me. And realistically, some people does. Because it makes them realize it was a mutual connection.
You know, repetition. One, repetition. Two, when we read something or watch something over and over, there's things that we pick up on that we didn't before. So, yeah, it's always important.
Mm-hmm. Very so. Very much so. Very so. What the heck? Anyway.
Are we having difficulties tonight?
Are we going to hear this story tonight or what? Or you want us to turn?
I don't know. Do you want me to read The Little Soul in the Sun?
Yeah, I do, because you have a certain way of illustrating. That's pretty cool.
All right. Well, thank you. I have to turn on some lights so I can see my book. I told you, I was all snuggly. I don't know.
Oh, now we see the true
culprit
here, right? It was the blanket. We see the true culprit here was actually the blanket.
Yes. Oh,
and
yeah.
Not wanting to come out of her freaking hibernation.
See, all right. So, this is actually a children's parable adapted from the Conversations with God. And it's the author is Neil Donald Walsh.
Uh-huh.
Am I saying all of that proper? All right. Okay, so once upon no time, there was a little soul who said to God, I know who I am. And God said, that's wonderful. Who are you? And the little soul shouted, I'm the light. God smiled a big smile. That's right, God exclaimed. You are the light. The little soul was so happy, for it figured out what all the little souls of the kingdom were there to figure out. Wow, said the little soul, this is really cool. But soon, knowing who it was not enough. The little soul felt strange inside and now wanted to see who it was. And so the little soul went back to God, which is not a bad idea for all little souls who want to be who they really are, and said, hi, God, now that I know who I am, is it okay for me to be it? And God said, you mean you want to be who you already are? Well, replied the little soul, it's one thing to know who I am, and another thing altogether to actually be it. I want to feel what it's like to be the light. But you already are the light, God repeated, smiling again. Yes, but I want to see what that feels like, cried the little soul. Well, said God with a chuckle, I suppose I should have known. You always were the adventuresome one. Then God's expression changed. There's only one thing. What? Asked the little soul. Well, there's nothing else but the light. You see, I created nothing but what you are. And so there is no easy way for you to experience yourself as who you are, since there is nothing that you are not. Huh? Said the little soul, who is now a little confused. Think of it this way, said God. You are like a candle in the sun. Oh, you're there all right, along with a million kajillion other candles who light up the sun. And the sun would not be the sun without you. Nay, it would be a sun without one of its candles, and that would not be the sun at all, for it would not shine as brightly. Yet how to know yourself as the light when you emit the light? That is the question. Well, the little soul perked up, your God think of something. Once more, God smiled. I already have, God said. Since you cannot see yourself as the light when you are in the light, we'll surround you with darkness. What's darkness? The little soul asked. God replied, it is that which you are not. Will I be afraid of the dark? Cried the little soul. Only if you choose to be, God answered. There is nothing, really, to be afraid of, unless you decide that there is. You see, we are making it all up. We are pretending. Oh, said the little soul and felt better already. Then God explained that in order to experience anything at all, the exact opposite of it will appear. It is a great gift, God said, because without it, you could not know what anything is like. You could not know warm without cold, up without down, fast without slow. You could not know left without right, here without there, now without then. And so, God concluded, when you are surrounded with the darkness, do not shake your fist and raise your voice and curse the darkness. Rather, be a light unto the darkness, and don't be mad about it. Then you will know who you really are, and all others will know too. Let your light so shine that everyone will know how special you are. You mean it's okay to let others see how special I am? Asked the little soul. Of course, God chuckled. It's very okay. But remember, special does not mean better. Everybody is special, each in their own way. Many others have forgotten that. They will see that it is okay for them to be special only when you see that it is okay for you to be special. Wow, said the little soul, dancing and skipping and laughing and jumping with joy. I can be as special as I want to be. Yes, and you can start right now, said God, who was dancing and skipping and laughing right along with the little soul. What part of special do you want to be? What part of special? The little soul repeated. I don't understand. Well, God explained, being the light is being special, and being special has a lot of parts to it. It is special to be kind. It is special to be gentle. It is special to be creative. It is special to be patient. Can you think of any other ways to be special? The little soul sat quietly for a moment. I can think of lots of ways to be special, the little soul then exclaimed. It is special to be helpful. It is special to be sharing. It is special to be friendly. It is special to be considerate of others. Yes, God agreed, and you can be all of those things or any part of special you wish to be at any moment. And that is what it means to be the light. I know what I want to be. I know what I want to be, the little soul announced with great excitement. I want to be the part of special called forgiving. Isn't it special to be forgiving? Oh, yes, God assured the little soul. It is very special. Okay. Said the little soul, that is what I want to be. I want to be forgiving. I want to experience myself as that. Good, said God, but there is one thing you should know. The little soul was becoming a bit impatient now. It always seemed as though there were some complications. What is it? The little soul sighed. There is no one to forgive. No one? The little soul could hardly believe what had been said. No one, God repeated. Everything I have made is perfect. There is not a single soul in all creation less perfect than you. Look around. It was then that the little soul realized a large crowd had gathered. Souls had come from far and wide, from all over the kingdom. For the word had gone forth that the little soul was having this extraordinary conversation with God, and everyone wanted to hear what they were saying. Looking at the countless other souls gathered there, the little soul had to agree. None appeared less wonderful, less magnificent, or less perfect than the little soul itself. Such was the wonder of the souls gathered around. And so bright was their light that the little soul could scarcely gaze upon them. Who then to forgive? Asked God. Boy, this is going to be no fun at all, grumbled the little soul. I wanted to experience myself as one who forgives. I wanted to know what that part of special felt like. And the little soul learned what it must feel like to be sad. But just then, a friendly soul stepped forward from the crowd. Not to worry, little soul, the friendly soul said. I will help you. You will? The little soul brightened. But what can you do? Well, I can give you someone to forgive. You can? Certainly, chirped the friendly soul. I can come into your next lifetime and do something for you to forgive. But why? Why would you do that? The little soul asked. You, who are a being of such utter perfection, you who vibrate with such speed that it creates a light so bright I can hardly gaze upon you. What could cause you to want to slow down your vibration to such a speed that your bright light would become dark and dense? What could cause you, who are so light that you dance upon the stars and move throughout the kingdom with the speed of your thought, to come into my lifetime and make yourself so heavy that you could do this bad thing? Simple, the friendly soul said. I would do it because I love you. The little soul seemed surprised at the answer. Don't be so amazed, said the friendly soul. You have done the same for me. Can't you remember? Oh, we have danced together, you and I, many times. Throughout the eons and across the ages we have danced. Across all time and in many places we have danced together. You just don't remember. We have both been the all of it. We have been the up and the down of it, the left and the right of it. We have been the here and there of it. We have been the now and then of it. We have been the male and the female, the good and the bad. We have both been the victim and the villain of it. Thus, we have come together, you and I, many times before, each bringing to the other the exact and perfect opportunity to express and to experience who we really are. And so, the friendly soul explained a little further, I will come into your next lifetime, and I will be the bad one this time. I will do something really terrible, and then you can experience yourself as the one who forgives. But what will you do, the little soul asked, just a little nervously, that will be so terrible? Oh, replied the friendly soul with a twinkle, you'll think of something. The friendly soul seemed to turn serious and said in a quiet voice, you are right about one thing, you know. What is that, the little soul wanted to know? I will have to slow down my vibration and become very heavy to do this not-so-nice thing. I will have to pretend to be something very unlike myself. And so, I have but one favor to ask of you in return. Oh, anything, anything, cried the little soul and began to dance and sing. I get to be forgiving, I get to be forgiving. The little soul saw that the friendly soul was remaining very quiet. What is it, the little soul asked. What can I do for you? You are such an angel to be willing to do this for me. Of course this friendly soul is an angel, God interrupted. Everyone is. Always remember, I have sent you nothing but angels. And so the little soul wanted more than ever to grant the friendly soul's request. What can I do for you? The little soul asked again. In the moment that I strike you and smite you, the friendly soul replied, in that moment that I do the worst to you that you could possibly imagine. In that very moment. Yes, the little soul interrupted. Yes. The friendly soul became quieter still. Remember who I really am. Oh, I will, cried the little soul. I promise. I will always remember you as I see you right here, right now.
Good, said the friendly soul, because you see, I will have been pretending so hard that I will have forgotten myself. And if you do not remember me as I really am, I may not be able to remember for a very long time. And if I forget who I am, you may even forget who you are, and we will both be lost. And then we will need another soul to come along and remind us both of who we are. No, we won't, the little soul promised again. I will remember you, and I will thank you for bringing me this gift, the chance to experience myself as who I am. And so the agreement was made, and the little soul was sent forth into a new lifetime, excited to be the light, which was very special, and excited to be the part of special called forgiveness. And the little soul waited anxiously to be able to experience itself as forgiveness and to thank whatever other soul made it possible. And at all the moments in that new lifetime, whenever a new soul appeared on the scene, whether that new soul brought joy or sadness, and especially if it brought sadness, the little soul thought of what God had said. Always remember, God had smiled, I have sent you nothing but angels.
The end.
Mm-hmm.
I love that book because every single heartache that I have in my life, I get to remember that person is bringing me something that I agreed on, something that I get to learn some experience, some great lesson.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard when going through it. When this third dimension comes through and says, I have to get revenge.
Right.
Right. So it's a matter of remembering who we are, who I am. Yeah. And
mm-hmm.
I get to, physically I am here in the third dimension, but spiritually I get to raise my vibration and I get to be in the fifth dimension. Be forgiveness, understanding, knowing. We're all here on a beautiful journey. This is all experiencing. Every single thing is done in love. I know that sounds really warped because if you think about it, someone was raped and murdered and it's just brutal and horrible. Okay, what exactly is it that we're learning?
Well, you look at the situation. I actually had someone on my show who had actually been raped and left for dead, and she said what she learned was that everything that we do, we decide to do, and every situation we put ourselves into, we make a choice to put ourselves there to learn something. And she learned about herself that she had taken her perception and was focusing too much on money, where she actually put herself in harm's way. So what it did was it taught her how to take 100% accountability for her own life, to accept herself for who she is, and to see the whole thing for what it was. And she finally realized if she would have made a different choice, it would never have happened. So you sit there, each situation is like that with everybody. There's always the one choice we make, and in looking at it, we can learn from it and say, okay, that was crazy. The situation is to learn to trust yourself that you can make a better decision next time.
Okay.
Most of us do. She did. You know, what's the ideal? You know for a fact, the first part of the book talks about the ideal one thing. And it's the one thing I push the most when I'm working with women who are looking, or anybody who's looking for themselves, to realize it's not the ideal looking for yourself. It's the ideal accepting yourself who you are. Just accept yourself for who you are. In the Bible, in your book, it says the same thing. God's telling the little light, you know, you are what you are. So just accept that. And then everything else has a tendency to fall into place very easily. All the people are trying to find themselves. All they're doing is finding more questions. And the answers are within themselves, so they're not looking in the right place. It's always external looking for, well, if I go over here, if I do this, if I lose weight. All these things of thinking, if I do all these things, then I'm going to come to a realization of who I am. I'm going to find myself. When it's not the ideal, it's like a dog chasing his tail. A dog is never going to chase his tail ever again if he caught it. But he will never catch it. That's the illusion, right? He will never catch his tail.
Right.
Maybe in the comic strips he will, but realistically.
Well,
but
you
realistically
know,
he never will.
There's two perspectives. One, I can be a victim. Oh, my gosh. This happened to me. How horrible. Oh, my goodness. Oh, it is the end of the world. And yes, I have played that role.
Really?
Quite well. But, you know, at the same time, it's not bad, sick, and wrong to be in that moment, to have those feelings. It's all part of the experience. We get to embrace those feelings. Oh, my gosh, this person did this to me. I can't believe it. That is playing the role of the victim. But you can be there for a minute. Feel it, embrace it, allow it, acknowledge it. And then you can step left and say, I'm not a victim. I experienced that. I felt it. Thank you for sharing. And you can step left and move forward, leaving that victim state behind, embracing your lesson, and moving forward with love, being in gratitude for whoever it was that brought you that lesson and that experience. Oh, boy. If I could just apply all of that to myself, I would be so happy.
That's true. So you also look at the situation, like in Dr. Wayne Dyer's book, that kind of funny as you gave it to me to actually read. In the book, it actually says in there that instead of hating anything or anyone, it's the idea of learning to love your addictions, the people that did the most things to you, because all those situations taught you more or more realizations about yourself. So therefore, when we sit there and I love this addiction, I love this, I love these things because they're making me actually, when we discover more about ourselves, realistically, it was always there and we discovered it. So it's always been part of us. And the idea, if you love it, and also he also says one thing too, that when you love things, you empower. When you hate something, you're actually lowering your vibration and putting yourself in a state of weakness. So love always empowers.
I do love my addiction. We've had this discussion. My addiction is my phone.
Well, I'm just kidding. But
I'm sorry.
I would sit there and say that too. I would sit there and say that we got to look at it for what it is. I mean, you're loving the situation that you're going through and certain things that you do as well. Okay? And you actually come out on the other side of those things with some realizations, because if you didn't, you wouldn't apologize for some of the things you do with people and some of the things you inflict on them. So you're... And the idea of everybody who comes into your life is also part of that realization, too, as well. I think you should go back and love all those people and give them hugs because they actually endured those situations with you so you can actually discover more about yourself and the process and the situation you're going through. But also you have a lot more faith in the choices that you've made in friends, too, as well. So you start trusting yourself more.
Right. I have one thing that just came up for me, and I get to share this. Because I know there are people out there going, oh, there's no way in hell I am going to love that person. You don't have to face them. You don't have to see them. You don't have to talk to them. You can send them love and gratitude from a distance. You don't have to see them. You don't talk to them. You don't have to hug them. Nothing like that. It's it's just a genuine love. So if someone has harmed you emotionally, mentally, physically, spiritually, whatever, however, that is, so in other words, a person who's been raped, they can love their attacker, just a genuine Christ-like love coming from a space of spirit. They don't have to see them. They don't have to talk to them. They don't have to touch them because in this third dimension, that's almost more difficult than anything else. So.
Oh, no, yeah. It's kind of funny, too, because I was sitting there talking about people who read the Bible and stuff, and how they have a tendency to, well, most of them do, but the ones I've dealt with, the first thing they do is they walk up to you and they see the worst in you. Which makes me wonder about the idea if they're actually reading the Bible. Let's put it this way. If they're either reading it or experiencing or feeling it, because there's definitely a difference between the situation. Because if you look at the Bible, right, Jesus put himself in a lot of situations, especially with Mary Magdalene, who was actually going to get stoned. Okay? And when you looked at that didn't sound right. You know what I'm talking about.
She must
anyway.
Have been in Colorado. All right.
But in that situation, but every situation, after you read the Bible, every situation Jesus puts himself into, even when he's trying to teach Peter how to walk on water, it's because he saw the love and he saw the good in everyone. He could not see the good in everyone if he couldn't see the good in himself. That's why he always sat there and said the strongest, the most powerful commandment, the one you should definitely obey, is the one about love. Love everyone. Love your neighbors, you love yourself. You know, just love everybody in this situation. But if you look at the situations of things he did, it's amazing how the Christians have a tendency to focus and reach and basically recycle everything. It's just over and over and over again. But the one thing they're not doing, what he taught, was teaching you how to love. When you love yourself and you know who you are, and as I'm going to say, they talk about the ideal of being saved. The ideal of saved, or whatever goes on in the whole situation, is still falls in the category of free will, because you have to make a conscious choice to even do it, and then everything else happens afterwards. But at that moment, I've seen people who do that genuinely, and they have a strong love for themselves, because they found in the process that God is real, but in the process of realizing God was real and Jesus was real, they're also spiritual beings, which we've all been taught is pure energy, which is pure love. So the person just realized at that moment, he can't have any kind of realizations or any kind of changes in his life until he changes that one thing, which is the idea of loving himself or herself. And then Jesus puts it into there. He didn't have to do those things as we're taught to do. Why? Because basically he was already there. But if you actually read the Bible too, they actually took out some books, which I think would help people understand that he went from progression as a child, discovering who he was, what he could do. Very strong. It was a very strong, very intelligent person too as well. But I'm pretty sure they took him out of there for one reason, because it was also showing the imperfections that he went through to actually learn more about himself or discover who he really was. And I wish they would have let those in there so people could actually get that whole situation, you know. But the one thing is, through each one of those realizations or crazy things that we do, when we have a positive outcome or realization, we just have a tendency to connect with ourselves more, and we actually have a tendency to accept us, and we find out things about ourselves or discover things about ourselves, which actually makes it easier to love us as a whole, but it has to start with us first. But I'm saying, like when Mary Magdalene was going to get stoned, he steps into a situation that he could have got stoned himself. You know where I'm going with this.
I know where you're going with this. I'm trying not to giggle.
And what they were going to do, and he put himself in the situation of telling everybody that if you can sit there and do this and follow through with it, then I guess none of you guys have ever sinned. And next thing you know, nobody did anything. They just walked away because they just realized then and there they had their own infractions. So the idea of stoning her was more of a hatred thing, because that lady was reflecting back at them about bad things about themselves. So therefore, the realization happened very quickly, and Jesus was a catalyst that actually brought it out to the freaking thing, going, there you go, guys. If you can't love somebody, then what gives you the right to punish them too? So we have to sit there and look at these situations. The bottom line happens every freaking time. It says love is everything. Love, love, love. People sit there and sit there and go, hey, that's a little old-fashioned. Okay, then what are you? You're a little old-fashioned, and we're having this conversation, and you're sitting there saying the things I'm saying is old-fashioned. Now, how'd you know it was old-fashioned if you didn't experience yourself? And somewhere along the line, you've walked away from it because you lost faith in yourself, which is what we call the old-fashioned part, the ideal situation, what love is all about. And I guarantee that person we're talking to right now, and the person who doesn't want to sit there and even admit that even happens, has a lot of things going in his own life because he can't manifest what he really wants. He's living a life that he's actually compromised to create. So he's got a lot of things going on. So he wasn't catching the reflection either, that this old-fashioned thing he calls could have actually changed things around his old-fashioned life, which wasn't working the way he wanted it to. But some people have a tendency to miss a thing. Or the other day I saw some guy preaching about Jesus. Jesus came to show us a better way. The reason the guy was not getting a lot of attention, because he wasn't living it. He's saying that Jesus came to show us a better way. Well, why is he not a little more confident with what he's saying and actually experiencing that life, that different way that was presented to us to change things? It shows you right there in some sense of the word that people who are pushing things. I actually heard someone say this the other day, don't pray for me if you don't know what you're doing. if you're not praying, and if you're simply going to pray for me to be saved because of all my infractions, then you're not doing, I don't think you're praying for the right reason. You should look at the situation of the person and go, this person is a fantastic, awesome person. So could you bless them to actually accept that? That'd be different. Instead of sitting there going all the list to all the things is, he's only got four toes. might sound weird, but I've actually heard worse. Or the churches that drive me crazy right now, the ones that, you know, they have that, the one I saw the other day was, he has this handkerchief, and he blesses it. And if you get one of these handkerchiefs, you'll be blessed too. Now, if I'm not mistaken, from all the things I've ever heard, God said, no idols before me. Anything can become an idol so freaking quick, or obsession. I want to call it more of an obsession. I think that's more on the line I was talking about, and the idea when it said idols. Because when you sit there and get obsessed about something, realistically, that's what you're doing. You're idled on one thing, and you can't go forwards or backwards.
There are people who have said to me that my crystals are like that. No, my crystals are not idols. I don't worship them. They do. They bring energy into my space. I don't see them as idols. But there are people who see it that way. And I see it as we were created from the earth. The crystals were created from the earth. They're energy. Energy is everything, and everything is energy. So they're just tools. And
they're regulators, realistically, right? They're regulators. It's like your chakras on your body. You can actually use crystals to regulate your chakras, which is connecting you more to yourself. The more you get those chakras cleared, the more your your aura is clear, and the more you tap into your abilities, the more you tap into your soul, the more you realize that there is definitely a higher being, which makes you actually more grateful, more faithful in the process of connecting to him, to be grateful for all the tools and things he's given you to actually connect with the earth. At the same time, he wants you to be appreciative of the spirit. Go ahead.
Tell me, what does a hanky blessed by a man do? Sorry, I don't mean to be. I feel facetious saying it like that. But honestly,
well, why not? Because I'm trying to look at the situation like this. The reason the guy does that, it's the same thing I've always seen a lot of preachers do, and the idea of falling in the ideal self-absorption. I bless this for you. And I've actually seen, it was actually a preacher that actually lost his voice because God basically blocked his voice because he wasn't really communicating with the people. It was more about him boasting about himself and the situation and saying, okay, this is what I did and everything else. And it was like, okay, you will have certain ailments in your body because of your infractions and basically your lack of belief in me and the idea of focusing entirely on you. So therefore he lost his voice. But as soon as he actually corrected things and started focusing on really teaching the people, he got his voice back.
A matter of
teaching,
staying humble.
Did you know this? Did you know that the ideal of how to improve one's memory is to take what you learn and teach it to others?
Yeah. That makes sense. Experiential learning is also huge in remembering.
Mm-hmm.
So
you look at the situation.
Sorry.
Okay. No, go ahead.
I was just going to say that when you experience something, you remember it more so than... Okay. For example, I used to teach my kids. We travel all the time, and so when we would sit down to eat at a restaurant or on the dining car on the train, I would take the little sugar packets, and I would show them one sugar packet plus another sugar packet equals two sugar packets, and we would do math this way, and so that was more experiencing. You know, it's a visual, but they can actually play with those versus... you know,
repetition.
Someone just telling them 1 + 1 = 2.
Yeah, or sitting and writing it down, 2 and 2, you know.
Right.
That's
just a very, very basic example of it. But if you go stand in the ice cold river, you're going to experience the cold water going over your feet versus somebody telling you, oh, the water's cold. It's totally different. and you remember the next time you go to the river, you're going to remember, oh, that was cold. I don't think I want to do that again. Or, yeah, I'd like to do that again. But, yeah.
So, it speeds things up when the ideal experiences. If you want, like you said, if you want to, even the ideal, certain people, as well as the ideal. If the guy's going to sit here and talk about Jesus and there was a better way, then he should be also presenting to people that he's actually chosen that better way as an example so people can also experience it through him, not hear what he's saying. Basically, I know this for a fact because when I walked up to the guy, he wouldn't even look at me. So that's one thing we saw before, too, about the ideal prejudice. Prejudice is based on fear. When people fear things, they have a tendency not to hate it. But it's actually a way of pushing things away. It's like people I've seen in relationships, okay? They're yelling at each other, treating people like treating each other like crap. And most guys, a lot of guys do that to distance women. And then, excuse me, I've seen women do it too. When they don't want to deal with the relationship or something like that, they'll start arguments to push the guy away, hoping he'll leave so they want to make a decision. So all these things are, I'm scared, so therefore prejudice is distancing yourself from the situation. So all those situations can be traced back. It's amazing how you can look at all those situations as just a sign of prejudice. I'm prejudiced against you because you love me. And that might sound crazy to some people, but I've seen it so many times. And the ideal of those kind of things because of fear. Not realizing, I guess we would put those situations on, maybe people would face their fears more and realize how prejudiced they're being by feeding into their fears, which actually causes that hatred for a situation because of where they came from.
Well,
that's what
and
they're doing.
And then you're choosing out of love. So if you choose love, then there is no fear, there is no prejudice, because if you're coming from a space of love, you trust, you know, one, you know yourself, two, you know God, you know your connection to God, and you know there is nothing to fear. Because you love. You love everyone, mm-hmm. everything, every situation, every experience, knowing that every single thing here is beautiful and is love as well.
That's exactly right. You know, I was starting to think about the same thing, too. Excuse me, on the situation about receiving, learning to receive. It's like going down to the deeper levels of receiving and the idea of just giving, receiving a hug from somebody because you gave somebody or you did something nice for somebody. And some people have a tendency to do that. I do sometimes have a little bit leery when someone just, I have a tendency to be constantly in a situation where when I have situations where I give, I just do. And I think I actually look for those opportunities too as well. But that's my way of being grateful for what I have, that I can actually do that for another person. Good.
That is something that we talk about quite a bit is the receiving. I know I do have a hard time with that myself, but honestly, that's to be a giver, we get to receive as well, because the person who is giving to us, if we tell them no, we're not allowing them to be the giver. We're denying them that gift.
Yes. Yeah, I read that the other day with your friend when I was sitting there. I was very giving. Any idea what I did, and then she decided to do something for me, and I had a hard time with that.
She was very excited to do that.
Yeah, I was saying no, and I was like, I did. That's one thing about situations people have to understand, too, that you can correct it very quickly, too. As soon as you realize it, you can correct it, and that's what I did. I said, no, I don't really need anything. And then it just kind of dawned on me. I think my guys were like, no. You know, you're always talking about learning how to receive. I think you should start practicing what you preach. Oh,
right.
So that's why, that's why I said. Sorry.
Well, it's important to allow others to be in a space of giving as well. And you know, there's a difference between giving to those who are asking. You know, you can't give away your whole world to those who are asking. That's a totally different thing. Just to be clear.
That's true, sweetie. That's what I'm going to get into the thing about changing perception, is that as I increase my perception, I also increase my prosperity. And the idea of increasing my prosperity, I'm actually in a situation where I can actually give because it's comfortable, I want to, and I can actually say yes. And the one thing I also learned in the process of giving you should never start calculating what you're losing, because realistically you're feeding into an illusion you still need to face. But there is no lack of limitation. But at that moment, I've seen people do this. I would give more if I could. Well, they should actually listen to their intuition and give what they got. I had a lady once who was talking about the idea where she was like, I think she was like $300. She was $300 short of getting her rent. And what she did was, it was kind of funny how she did that to show it was her way of saying, the world is abundant and prosperous. It always has been and always will be, and it is now. So she sits down and writes a check out to a charity and just says, that's what we're going to do. She got a prompting. She got a freaking thing from her guidance that says, write a check out for $20 and send it to this place. So she did. Next week, her rent wasn't due for 2 weeks. But the following week, see, she's worrying about it already, freaking out, not realizing every day things change very quickly. And then the following week, she got a speaking engagement, which she thought was a miracle, because the place that she was actually asked to speak at, they don't pay for speakers, but they paid her $1,500. It was one of those things, too, also realizing that sometimes we don't see our worth, but somebody does. And the universe also points those things out to us, too, that people see that worth in you. But also she said right then and there, she refused to feed into it. She caught herself feeding into the lack of limitation. That's why she wrote the check out, said, no, the universe is prosperous and abundant. So be it, okay. So it is, and she sent it out. Yeah.
But with that, I don't mean to say but, because I don't want to erase any of that. With that, okay, there gets to be balance, though, because we
That's
do
true.
Get to take care of ourselves as well. So, you know, the giving as well as receiving as well as trusting and taking care of ourselves.
Yeah, you're
sorry,
right. When you got balance between your giving and receiving, you probably have more prosperity. That's what I'm saying. On the day I did that too, I was sitting at the post office, and I got one of those letters from St. Jude's Hospital. And I was sitting there sending my rent to my landlady for the shop. And so something just came over me and says, okay, right, get a money order for your rent for your shop and get a money order for $20 and send it to St. Jude's Hospital. I did it all at one time, sent it all out. And that day, I almost made $200. So, you know, when you start looking at the situation, the balance, once you put yourself in a state of giving and allow yourself to receive, you actually create that balance without trying. You're just basically, like we were talking about, the whole thing you're talking about in your book, where the gods tell the little spirit, the little spirit that he knows who he is. He goes, okay, there's nothing else to do. Just be who you are. In the process of realizing that and accepting yourself for who you are, you're also accepting that you're an abundant and prosperous person. So whatever you send out, you get back. When you get
yes.
back, you send out.
Yes, yes, yes,
that
yes,
balance
yes.
Is like a constant.
What does the universe say? Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah,
so.
I actually have some books on it too. Yes has a nice vibrational sound to it where it's like something that continues. Unlike no, which is like a brick wall. Yes is kind of a continuous energy. So you, every time I sit here and say something, you know, when I send $20 out, will I be prosperous and abundant? Will I have a fantastic day? Yes, I will, and I'll be able to do this more, to the point where I'm actually asked to be in a situation, a position to actually be able to give. I've even set the price, you know, so I like to be in a situation where I would be taken care of very well with a nice divine excess that I can actually send $10,000 to charities or to a charity. So it's like one of those things is thinking on the same level. It's like trying to tell people, too, every time you send something out, no matter what it is, you get tenfold.
You know our little project that we're wanting to do?
Yeah.
I don't want to. I'm just going to call it the project because I don't want to say anything.
That's amazing. Everybody in Manitou Springs knows. Why don't you tell them? No, just kidding.
Thank you, not. Anyways, our little project, I wanted to use that like once a week or something to
give it back.
Maybe feed those who are, you know, not they choose a different path, but with that choice, they don't have certain things that they deserve. Does
mm-hmm.
that make sense? I'm really working.
I think it's one of those things where we pick one day a week or one day a month or whatever, and have a radio show there, do free readings and stuff like that, and also do something else. I don't know. I still think that when you teach people, like a, you've heard this thing where it says you teach a person how to fish, you know, or if you give them, what is it? If you give them a fish, you feed them for the day. If you teach them how to fish, you fed them for life.
Right, exactly.
So it's one of the things with having one of those kind of sessions where we can do readings for people in the process of not change, you know, pick a day or something like that. I've done this before. Well, I've done days like that where I'll set the day off and I'll just look for a certain situation where I will just say a person walks up and they don't have the money. But I can, it's like keeping your mind, it's like keeping open and say, okay, this person needs a situation right now. So therefore, we push the money to the side in favor of the service. And what's so funny about it, I did that the other day. As a guy came to the door and he really didn't have the money, as in he didn't have, how do I put this? Oh, my phone died. I couldn't use a card. And he was sitting out there. And I'm like, you know, something tells me to go ahead and just give him a reading. So I did. And he came back, I think he came back about 4 hours later and got two more sessions and paid for everything. So, you know, when you sit there and give unconditionally like that, it comes back. Or the other day, I think this is the favorite one I ever had, was for these girls come up there. And I seen them walking by the shop all freaking day, contemplating if they want to get a reading or not, right? And then they came, it was like 6 o'clock in the evening, right? I'm not ready to leave. I'm actually standing at the door contemplating on should I leave or not. And they come by, walk across the street, and a girl, like, I looked at her in her face, and I said, you want to get a palm reading, don't you? And she's like, yeah, I do, but how about free? Okay, how about that? Give me your hand. And he just gave her a palm reading there. I actually read all three of them real quick. Did a palm reading for her. You know, basically blew their minds. Gave them a couple compliments. And let them, and then they basically went their way, I went my way. It was one of the best experiences I've ever had in 20 minutes. Where you just, you know. And then the next day was like, the next 2 days were phenomenal. So don't knock the ideal of, you know, learning to receive, because in order to keep that cycle going on, you definitely got to keep it open so everybody can give back to you too. Because I've seen situations like that before. I've had situations where people come back to me. I just had this happen the other day where I gave this guy a $10 bill because I felt like he was in need. He came back and asked me, what would you like to have back in return? I say, I don't know, a couple of Muscle Milks. He said, okay. And I said, I kind of like forgot all about it, right? And then he shows up, and I was doing a reading for somebody. He shows up and has a bag full of freaking Muscle Milks.
Wow.
And I just sort of said, I was kind of shocked. And I said, well, thank you. And just let it go that way. It's one of the things of learning how to just say thank you, because you're right. Allowing yourself to learn how to receive from people and what they're giving you, you can actually offend them.
Well, and you're taking away that blessing for them.
Yeah.
You're taking their blessing. So you're being a taker by not receiving. Does that make sense?
They want to, no, but it's like, how do you feel when you give something to somebody? I think you should remember that feeling and give somebody else a chance to do the same thing too as well by helping you, like you've helped other people. Because if we're going to sit here and say, well, we put out there, it doesn't always have to be money. But whatever we put out, we get back. Which most people it's karma. That's karma. I said, yeah, but there's also bad karma and good karma. The good karma teach you.
Life doesn't have to be run by money. This world does not. It doesn't have to be run by
money. It just happens to be our main, It just happens to be the one thing. We look back in history and there's been many, many forms of exchange.
You gave someone something that they wanted and they returned something to you. And how he obtained it may not have been with money. It's hard to say. You know,
but
there was no money exchanged between the two of you. But you each received something that you wanted.
You know, that's true. And on that note, we have a callers.
Yay!
I think we kind of like forgot about our callers. So let's start taking some calls.
We get talking.
Yeah, we can, I'm pretty sure we'll. Remember, we should also compose ourselves, because we actually have Friday and Saturday. Oh, no, we got one tomorrow and Friday and Saturday. Oh, whenever you want to show up, of course.
And Sunday.
Sunday. Oh, that's right, Sunday. I forgot about Sunday. Mm.
Yes,
anyway.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, so let's go to our first caller who's been waiting for a while. 43 minutes.
Very patient.
Yes. Thank you for your patience, 386. Welcome to the show, and how are you? You might have fell asleep. Area code 386. Huh?
I said, with us talking? Well, maybe. Maybe we'll put people to sleep.
No, I don't think that. I think it's one of those things we have a tendency. I mean, I've heard people tell me that I have a tendency to have a relaxing effect on people. So we'll go that route.
Okay.
So area code 386. Are you there? 386? Okay.
Yes.
Let's give a little, I'm just, you know, working on patience right now. So we're going to sit here and go, okay. No problem. 38386. Area code, you're on the air. Welcome to the show. And how are you?
Hi. I need to be unmuted. Unmute.
You need to be unmuted?
Oh, yeah, I think so. Hi, thank you for taking my call. I did have a question. I was receiving a reading, I think, the other night, and my phone had gotten cut off. I wanted to ask you what you feel about an ex-boyfriend entering back into my life. What do you see going on with that?
So the ex-boyfriend, what's his name?
His name is D.
His name is what?
His name is D. I call him D.
Okay. So how long has it been since you guys have been together?
It's been about 4 months we've been separated. And there is another person so involved in, you know, you say they're friends, but I don't know about that. I think it's a little bit more. I'm not sure, though.
So with the situation that's going on with that, so you haven't seen him in 4 months, so therefore the idea of him having somebody else in his life, is this partially on assumptions, or have you actually got information that tells you that you're right?
Right, yeah. I haven't seen him. I mean, we have a kid together, but, you know, I talk with him on the phone. So I'm just kind of, you know, but now he's actually starting to come around a little bit more. So I'm not sure if she kicked his butt to the curb and now he's trying to come back to what the deal is.
You know, it's kind of crazy sometimes I hear these kind of questions where people are always assuming that people have a tendency to kick people to the curb before they start coming back to us, which actually gives us a little, little insight to people how insecure what they feel themselves that they would have to have that kind of interaction to get someone to come back to them. When I look at the situation, you're right, this is a guy who has a tendency to put himself in situations. I feel like he's very insecure about some things, actually a lot of things. But on the same part, I think this girl you're talking about, yeah, I think she was a whole lot more than just a friend. It's one of those things I don't like. Men have a tendency to use that word called, or that little phrase, friends with benefits. So therefore, when he's talking to you, he'll refer to her as a friend. When he's talking to her, he tells her she's friends with benefits. So you see how he kind of covers himself? But realistically, it shows a guy who's very insecure about himself. Okay? So when you look at the situation, what's the possibility? Because, see, the question is confusing. Because in some ways, he's still in your life. I know what you're asking. You're asking about a situation of having a relationship with somebody. But it's also the ideal of saying, okay, what kind of relationship are we talking about? I know you want more than friends, but at the same time, it's how you talk to yourself, too, as well. You're keeping in a frame of relationship. But I don't think it's one of those, well, when I said you're focused on the situation, it says you need to focus on exactly what you do want instead of what you're willing to settle for. And I feel like in some ways, going back with this person, because I do feel like that for some reason, mid-July, there could be a possibility of reconnecting on a relationship-wise, too. But I also feel like it's also called a sexual encounter that could actually be considered something more than what it is on his part. What I mean by that is it's like having a sexual interlude. And he's thinking, okay, we can just, that's one of those things I can handle. No big deal. And then we'll go on a merry way. And he doesn't, and then all of a sudden it kicks in and it taps into feelings he really does have. So it doesn't work out quite that quick, but it could also be one of the situations. It's almost like the ideal needing to really connect when you feel like something like that's going to happen in July, that you don't go there. You tell the guy, I'd rather sit down and talk about it first before we go and become physical again.
Does that
make sense to you?
Oh, sorry.
Huh?
Oh, no, sorry. Go ahead. I'm listening.
Oh, no, no. What I was saying was, does that make sense to you?
Oh, yeah, it does. It makes a lot of sense. There's just something that's not right about the girl in him. You know, I don't know if it's a solid, very solid. They're going back and forth. What if there's just something there?
Well, also with that note, too, I sit there and forget about that and start focusing on exactly what I want. What you would want with him. If you focus too much on them, you could actually put too much energy into that whole thing, and that'll continue to happen, because therefore it would be something like, I feel like it was, like it's been in the past. His way of using it as a diversion, so he won't have to face up to his feelings. When he's in a real relationship, he'll fall back on her. So I get the impression they might actually use the words friends, and maybe even close friends, or maybe even best friends, but I don't see that. I think they kind of both use each other to use each other's diversion, so they won't have to face the reality of having a good relationship. Almost like they're trying to tell you that they're not worthy. Of course, this is traced back to their own insecurities and things they haven't let go of, so manifested into this kind of relationship. So it's like, look at a situation, that's what I'm saying. With this guy, you would need to sit down and say, okay, I want to be in a real relationship. If you don't want to do that, until you do, there will be no sex.
Right. On the other hand, there is a young man that I am friends with. And
mm-hmm.
kind of weird because, like, we're friends. But this guy, I'm a Scorpio, he's a Cancer, and I believe he's a good match for me. I just, you know, so that we're just, it's just what it is. We're talking on the phone, and so I'm hoping that it will move forward. I don't know what you see.
Well, you could get the impression with that relationship you're talking about could actually be a whole lot more, but you're going to have to let go of something for that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was the one with the relationship you were talking about earlier. Also, you said you're a Leo and he's a Cancer?
No, I'm a Scorpio, yeah. It's sort of like, Scorpio and Leos are like kind of the, you know, I don't want to use it, but they're the, you know, most dominant of the signs. But yeah, I'm a Scorpio and he's a Cancer. And so the compatibility is really good.
Okay, compatibility is really good. And how do you feel about him?
I like this man. He's very spiritual, and you can have a conversation on my level, which is hard to find. And he listens to me when I talk. I'm not just talking, and you know, it sounds like warm up. He's listening to me. He feels like I have great advice. I know because when I give him advice, he's really tuning in onto my intelligence and listening. You ever had that?
Well, that kind of taps into the compatibility. I understand that. But I really think you should ask yourself, how do you feel about him? I mean, what kind of connection do you have with him? But you could actually sit here and say that when you're with him, your heart chakra is open.
We live in different cities, so we haven't been able to spend, you know, time. We've just been talking over the phone, and he just got it. You know, he just ended a relationship also. But I feel like it could go deeper if it happened to, you know, get deeper, that it could.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, you know, that's how I feel. I feel like, if there was an opportunity, there's a spark, that we would hit it off. And, you know, he just seems like the type of guy that he would actually stick around. Like, me being a Scorpio and just me being a woman, you know, I've been through a lot. And I just kind of feel like he would get that and understand it and be there for me. You know,
I think he's
ready for a change in his life, and I'm just wanting to, you know, hopefully, I'm wanting it to happen, but slowly, so that, because the best thing is to start off with spring, but, you know.
Just... Yeah, it's one of the situations that has a lot of potential, but you're going to have to sit there and detach yourself from the situation and just let it unfold where it's going to unfold. Continue to keep talking to each other. But also take some time to also have you guys actually experienced time together physically. I'm talking about hanging out, doing things actually together.
Talking about it. He's talking about coming to visit me.
And where is he?
He's in Jacksonville, Florida.
And where are you?
I'm close to Orlando, like Central Florida, about an hour away.
Yeah, you guys should sit and try to make this thing happen soon. It's one of those situations of bringing it back to the standards where it used to be in the ideal meeting somebody face-to-face and going out enjoying and having fun with each other. Sometimes people have a tendency, when they've gone through some bad situations, have a tendency to use the phones as a diversion and prolonging it, not realizing if you keep prolonging it. People have a tendency to start getting to a point where they don't start trusting each other because they wonder what they're hiding. So that's what I'm saying with this situation. You see a lot of potential here. You should also trust it. You should trust exactly what you're picking up. It's a very favorable assessment of the facts, and now it's the ideal to take it one step further and go bowling or whatever. To be this close. I'm just saying, to be this close is, well, don't go bowling. I'm just saying, recreation or whatever it is for you, you guys need to go out and start dating because you've actually done the conversations on the phone. So the ideal is saying there's an opportunity to get close. That's already happened. Now it's the opportunity to actually interact with each other and see if it's the same thing in person as it on the phone. It's, gonna, you know, it's like one of those things, just pick something. I mean, where are you at? He's in Jacksonville, Florida, and you're in Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've seen some people, I get kind of crazy with the situation where I'm talking to somebody who's been talking 8 months on the freaking internet and basically on the phone and texting, and they only live 20 minutes away from each other. You know, it's the ideal excuses. I can't do this. I can't do that.
Wow.
Then don't get into it. And then don't even start talking because, you know, when these things happen, progression is progression. It's going to start happening. So, therefore, what's happening now is I think there's a lot of questioning that could actually, all the answers could be given to you in the process of meeting each other face-to-face. And it's actually been proven that some people who meet like this, the reason they have such a hard time when they actually do meet each other is one or the other hasn't been totally honest with who they really are. So in the process of doing that, they have a tendency to procrastinate. So we sit here and look at those situations and say, okay, somebody might actually there's maybe he's a person, or maybe you're a person who's actually seen those kind of situations. So the longer this goes, the more those fears are going to kick in.
Mm-hmm.
So we just want you to sit there and it's okay. It's getting a healthy start because you guys have already done the talking and communicating. It seems like you have no problem in doing that. So when you meet each other, just don't, I always say, don't make a good impression. Just be yourselves and have a good conversation and do whatever. If you want to drink coffee all freaking night and talk. All I'm saying with you is the idea of physical activity or sex is one of those things you should really get a relationship established before you go there. Because it seems like a situation the guys you've attracted before usually have a tendency to have the sex, and then all of a sudden I'm not saying they're gone, but they start having all kind of problems emotionally. It's the macho thing, though. I can handle this, but just have some sex, no emotional connection. Guys are stupid.
Yeah.
How about you, Heather? What do you think? Really? Is that your answer?
I think there's no reason to hide. You either meet or there's no. You either get together and spend time together, or there's no point. There's what? Why continuously? If someone is interested in you, they want to be with you. They want to be near you. They want to be around you. They want to spend time with you. And it doesn't have to be obsessive, but it doesn't have to be rare. It's one of those things you know if there's an interest there because they show it. So
Right. It's
something to pay attention to. If this person doesn't put forth that effort, see ya. There are too many people out there who have amazing, wonderful things to share and give, and each one of us as well. So as a woman, if a man does not have the time for me, I don't have the time for them. That's just how it is. So anyways, I may be way off, but that's what's coming up.
Good.
It makes, yes, it does. It makes sense because you know what? You know, like we're only an hour away, so we're in a different state. So I just feel like, you know, I don't know. He mentioned that he mentioned that, you know, I guess it's a pride thing when, you know, he's having financial issues and he's just having issues, period. And like, I don't know if he wants to, you know, get himself situated before he, you know, comes this way. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. What do you think? Because he's having issues
like
with finance and everything.
Yeah, I understand that. I understand that situation. But see, I can also go from a man's point of view and say, you know something? When I want to be with somebody, I will find that freaking money, and I'll be in a car, I'll rent a car or whatever it is, and I'll be popping at your freaking door. It's just as simple as that. I've actually driven 6 hours to see somebody. Okay, it's like, what's one of those situations? I've actually hitchhiked, 16 hours to prove my point of actually being with somebody. So it's the idea of the situation. When people start using these kind of excuses, there are no excuses. It's a spontaneous thing. It also gives us insights to a person, and how is that person going to be if we were in a relationship? Oh, my God, I have lost my job. We've got to break up. No, you don't. Life is to teach us how, as a couple, that we have such a unity that we can actually work our way through these things. You don't sit there and say, well, you know, I'm going to break up and do that. Or a situation that I've heard the same thing with people. As soon as I get my freaking career on the road, then we'll get married. I'll forget him. He's more concerned about his career and his own little situation than he is the situation of having a relationship and being a couple. That's what it's all about, the ideal unity, not the idea of what he can do. Even the greatest relationship where you see the guys in charge, the woman is basically the balanced part of the whole situation. If it's not working out, he is not, and the idea of being a leader actually has a tendency to be a whole lot easier if you have a supportive woman. Because if you have a supportive woman in the situation you're in, people have a tendency to follow you a whole lot quicker because your woman shows the ideal of having that faith in you, and everybody else will too. So you see, he has financial issues. They're excuses. And excuses are things that we create to keep us from where we really want to be at. So I know where he really wants to be at. It's the situation. It's the idea of talking and saying, the guy lives an hour away. Not freaking states away. And I guess that's my problem, isn't it? I don't care how far a person is away. I make problems. I mean, shoot, what was it? 2 years ago, I met some girl on Skype. I'm not going to throw a website I was working for. She lived in England. I didn't say I had a financial situation. Oh, my life. Oh. No, what I did was I sat there and looked at the situation and found a solution. Next thing I know, I hooked up with this one place, made the money, got my passport. The only reason I didn't go was because she changed the whole thing, went backward with her ex-boyfriend. But I had all intentions of showing up. All I had to do was get the plane ticket and go. I had everything else, the passport, the money, everything else. All I was trying to get was the plane ticket, and she was like, well, this is taking too long. So see, it's impatience. It costs people the most in the situation what they really want. Okay? Procrastination, impatience. Or like this situation here of thinking everything has to be in a row, like ducks in a row. Never came up with this freaking phrase anyway. I got to get all my ducks in a row. I've never had ducks.
It's all about the mother duck getting her little ducklings together.
That's true too. But you know, the situation is, as she's getting these ducklings together, she's still living her life. They all keep floating in the pond, and then they all come together. So, you know, it still doesn't work for me. I've just done too many things in the idea of saying, this is what I want, and following through with it. My biggest problem is the idea when it hasn't happened on the other side. But it has happened a couple times, I have to admit. So, therefore, you know, it's one of the situations when some things have a tendency to fall apart because people stop following their hearts and start thinking too much. So what your situation is make your mind up what you really want to do in this situation. You don't make decisions because what he's going to do or what he's not going to do. You sit there and make decisions according to what's best for your corporation because it's exactly what he's doing. He's focusing on money right now. I have to have money for this. No, you don't. You have to have intentions. He wants this. I can feel it.
I'll tell you what. If you make plans and say, this is what I'm doing, you're welcome to join me. If not, I'm going to go have some fun, and I'll talk to you later. And you start living life and let him know that you are living life and you are not stopping. You are not sitting still. You are not holding your breath waiting for him. He's going to go, oh, my gosh, I think I like this woman. I think I need to step up.
Mm-hmm.
You keep your standards high, honey, and your man will step up. He will. Mm-hmm. He'll be there.
Oh, yeah.
But you got to love you, and you got to have fun. You got to take on your life. Don't let anything stop you.
Okay.
All righty.
Thank you all so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
I'll keep
you
updated.
A great night. Mm-hmm.
You too. You both. Blessings.
Say it one more time.
I said both of you have a great night and blessings to you both.
Oh, honey, you
have
a wonderful night too.
And we'll talk to you later. You have a good one, okay?
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye now.
I just put my Abbott earphone in, and Donnie, you're in stereo.
Oh, really? Well, that's great.
I know.
That's good.
Sorry.
So I'm going to pop in here. I'm trying to figure out. Let's see. I'm going to go to area code 415. You're on the air. Welcome to the show, and how are you?
Hi, hello, this is Teresa calling from California. How are you?
Hey, Teresa, how are you?
I'm terrific. Today's my birthday, so I wanted to call and say, how do you do?
Well, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thanks. I couldn't think of a better thing to do than to get an angel card reading on my birthday.
Well, of course.
There you go. Oh, by the way, this is Heather. And this is Teresa.
Heather. How are you?
I am fantastic as well. I'm glad to hear that you are.
Oh, yeah. Well, I just love Donnie.
I know, huh? We have
fun. Well, thank you. Yeah, yeah, we do. And lately it's been kind of crazy, but fine.
So how's the weather in Colorado?
Cold.
Don't want to talk about it. Yeah. Yeah, because what was it? Today's Wednesday, and we have this at work. So today has been like in the, like the last 2 days, it's been like in the 20s and 30s. But on Monday, I think it was like in the 60s.
Wow.
Oh, Monday was stunning. It was so beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah,
happy spring.
Yeah, it was interesting. And actually, I got my shop, and somebody had called me yesterday to come down and to give them a reading. And the first thing came out of my mouth, my head was like, are you serious? It's like, that's not even 24 degrees. They want to do a reading. But I said, you know, when people call, I have a tendency to go, and I went. And it was a great experience. For I only did one reading that day in the shop, but it was a positive, great experience. As much as spiritually as it was financially, which is what we always say, you do the service and people just hand you whatever you want.
Was the snow blowing sideways past the door?
Well, I like the shuffling in the ear. That was really good, too.
No, I'm sorry. You can hear that?
Okay.
I don't have it anywhere near the microphone. I'm shuffling, too. That's kind of great. I must have a really powerful mic.
Hence the reason I have to hide in the closet.
That's just showing off. Okay, you can take that somewhere.
I just bought these earbuds for $22 with a microphone on it. I guess it was worth the money, huh?
Mm-hmm. It's advertising.
Well, that's great. Huh?
You're advertising.
No. I'm not going to tell you who I bought them from. Anyway, that's my secret. But, you know.
Didn't you say somewhere in France?
Apparently, yeah, the truck slowed down enough for you to grab them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, plus all those fish I got from the swim.
What do the angels have to say? What deck are you using?
My angel tarot.
It's an awesome angel deck.
Yeah, my angel tarot are talking about tarot. Terror. Let's make this good. No, I was getting the impression it was like the cards are actually the Wheel of Fortune with Archangel Michael. The audio continuing to not hold on to anything and keep moving forward, make sure all the cards are cut. It actually shows a time of positive change. It also shows a situation and suddenly moving forward, certain things kicking into place very quickly. And it also shows to relax because fortune is on your side.
You and pulled shows, three cards? I'm sorry, is that what you said?
Yeah, I pulled three cards. That was the first one. That's also a 10.
Could you tell me that slower, please? My phone broke up a little bit.
Okay. No, what I got was the ideal. The first card was the Wheel of Fortune with Archangel Michael. It's also a 10 card, which, when you look at the 10 itself, today's the 10th. So it does show, once you get past the birthday, that time, it's a time for positive change. It's also saying that situation is going to suddenly move forward, that you've been waiting for a lot of clarity on, and then it shows the fortune, of course, is on your side.
Wonderful.
And then the second card was the Queen of Earth. It actually gives little insights to you that some of the traits about yourself that you'd be focusing more on. I'm not saying you haven't, but sometimes when you emphasize, it's just the ideal things to come.
I usually show up as the Queen of Earth. I was born as a 21-3. I usually show up as the universe or the Mother Earth.
There you go.
21 or a 3.
Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't surprise me, and it wouldn't surprise me you would pull that on me since you've known me a long time.
Yeah, Yeah, this is like, it shows the idea of being thoughtful and creative, warm and sensible. The idea of reflecting on past experiences of positive things that have happened to keep that creation and creativity moving. She also focuses on the idea of making more time for those around you. I get this, the one thing I get on most here is the idea of take a sensible approach. I think it's the idea of certain worry that has to be neutralized. And I've done this too. I just did this with part of my freaking hand that I burnt 2 days, 3 days ago. But everybody else keeps thinking like, did it 2 or 3 weeks ago. And it was the idea of not focusing on it, but also focusing in a positive way. But focusing on having a positive, you know, perfect and just being loving. And all of a sudden this thing just healed up like nothing. It also shows the same thing here where it says deal with challenges in a kind and understanding manner. I think it gets that to me when it focuses on it is the idea of what you're projecting. So it's focusing more on you, of being more understanding and kind to yourself and the manners of the situations that are happening. And then we go to the third card.
That's
go ahead.
Fabulous advice. Go ahead.
No, I thought so. And now the third card is basically the magician. This is the number one card, but it also is associated with the archangel Raziel. Raziel focuses on, if I'm not mistaken, some of these, you know, sometimes we get the full three-dimensional thing about these angels. It seems like everybody has their different perceptions on things. And I have a tendency to mess this, sometimes I mix this one up with Jophiel. But this is Raziel, which is the wizard-like angel of spiritual secrets and mysteries, who will open the doors of opportunities for you. He will also speed you along the path of manifestation, so you'll enjoy success much more quickly than seems logically possible. So therefore, it's the idea of opening all the possibilities, also realizing that you're ready. You have the resources and the ability to manifest just exactly what you want to, situations, people, and that kind of thing. And to look at life in a magical way, because it's the idea of looking at your own abilities, the idea of magic or energy, whichever one you want to look at it. But it does show the idea of looking at life in a more magical way. Sometimes we do have a tendency to forget that because the world has a tendency to seep in. We need to push it back out. Whoa.
Holy mackerel. Are you okay?
Yeah, so.
Sounds like
to
you
me?
Fell off the chair.
Oh.
Hello?
You fell off a chair?
No, it sounds like you fell off a chair.
No, that wasn't me. That came from, I think, Heather, who was probably wrapping herself up in her blanket even more.
No, I'm just sitting here being a good girl. Don't bring me into that.
I don't know what it was. I heard the same thing. So if I heard it, then I couldn't have been experiencing it. Well, not in the way of actually being a part of Hell's Angels.
Well, it must be all the angels celebrating.
Okay,
exactly.
I'll go with that one. That's interesting in itself, isn't it? The idea always centers on you're ready.
That's a really beautiful reading.
We say thank you, and then that's one of the people always ask me too. Why do you always say we? We thank you, or the ideal we? Why not? It's all the guidance and stuff, and the ideal, all those things that come through us. So with a situation like that, Teresa, so how are you yourself in the situations? I know there was some things going with your husband, New York.
I actually had a pretty tough January and February. I came down with pneumonia.
Oh, okay.
And I was pretty sick for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm getting pretty recovered, and, you know, spring is here, and I just feel better, and things are still, I'm still trying to plug away with the stuff that I've talked to you about in the past. Still trying to finish
mm-hmm.
that up. We got the state of California done, but we're still working on another state in Arizona. That's not done yet.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But you know, I tried to come into this year with fearlessness and working on non-resistance.
Okay.
And, you know, at some point you just do the best you can every day to put down struggles and put down waiting and struggling and,
right.
And I just trying to work on that, you know, that when things arise is not arguing with them. They're just there. They're already in physical form and a million things happen that they're here and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So just working on non-resistance and you know, struggle is wonderful because it gets us to ask God for help. But after that, it doesn't serve much purpose. So logically, I've got that down perfect. I'm working on actually having it in every cell. So it's a good project. Putting down struggle is a really good project.
Yeah, I did the same thing when everybody was going through the flu and the ailments, where I was sitting there one day and I felt like something coming on. I wouldn't allow myself to feed into it to the point where I said, well, I can manifest. I've been manifesting pretty much anything and everything lately, so therefore this manifests perfect health, and I want it done now. So therefore I think I laid down for about 8 hours and focused on curing myself. So there, I wouldn't allow myself to even acknowledge that I had anything going on. I would just keep saying I'm in perfect health because I am perfect health. And I was actually saying this in my sleep, so when I woke up 8 hours later, it was almost like it never even happened. But it was one of those things where...
I certainly did exhaust myself, and I knew it was happening. And, you know, it appeared at the time that I didn't have any time to rest, and there you go. Your body knows what it needs.
Well, it was like that. That makes perfect sense. The idea of, you know, basically there's an imbalance there. You're overdoing it, exhausting yourself.
Right.
So this a physical ailment happened to remind you, don't do this again. And some people go, well, that's kind of drastic, isn't it?
Well, I never felt really smart when I was laid up burning up with a fever. Yeah.
it didn't feel like the smartest move
I've ever made.
Right. You just keep going.
But it's a good reminder. Right. You know, and it's a great reminder that if you don't take care of it, somebody else will.
One way or another,
I was going to get some rest.
That's true. There you go.
Yeah. But anyway, my husband's in California right now. He's hoping to return this summer. I think he'll be returning this summer to New York. And he's working with the symphony, and he's doing really well.
Yeah, there was some things I felt like in some ways he was having a little bit of doubt with himself. He seems very calm on the surface sometimes, but keeps things to himself. Not everything. I'm just saying he has these little certain things. He still has
Valium, but he shares the undercurrent with me.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
I get the belly of it, right? But, you know, it sounds really good. You know, I was also wondering when you were doing that reading if my mom and dad showed up at all. You know, my mom and dad are passed away.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I was in a little situation with certain things. That's interesting. I usually pick up a lot of things with a lot of people, and I'm just right now not. It could also be mine. For some reason, I feel really exhausted myself. I get more... I would sit there and say that if I did pick up anybody, the one that comes to most would be your father. But when I see him, I just see him standing there. It's like, you ever have your bathroom where you got the light out in there, but you have a night light or some kind of light in there where it kind of used to have that darkness, but you have that little glow in the background?
Right.
That's what I see him. I'm not saying he's in a room. I'm just saying he's in that kind of state where he's there. I can see almost like a shadow. They have the lights, and there's a certain glow to the whole thing, which is nice and warm and calming itself. But I just see him standing there. I think it's one of those things of contentment, and he feels like you just need him standing there with you.
Great.
That's what
parents do best, right? Stand with you.
Oh yeah. It's a very positive energy, so I mean, that's one of those things of radiating and almost like the indication of a lot of positive things coming.
Well, terrific. Well, that's beautiful. Well, do you have a lot of other callers on the line?
No.
Oh, well then can I ask one more question?
Isn't that crazy? I said no and this all pops in the room. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so this is the usual that you're used to. I have something that I'm expecting within the next week. When you did the reading about things coming in swiftly and stuff, but I'm also hoping to get a decision on something in Arizona too, and I'm also waiting for a decision about a new job I applied for. Do you have any sense on either one of those?
Let's see. I get the impression of the thing with Arizona and the job. It seems like something that would definitely happen. And I don't know how quickly you're expecting to hear anything, but it seems like the Arizona thing will be like a response or just an answer to the whole thing before the end of this month.
Oh, good.
The job is...
I've applied for several positions, and I was hoping one is traveling and one is not. Do you see either one of those?
What I got real quickly was the one that's not. Almost like I get the impression with you, it's the idea you're fascinated with the one that travels.
Well, it's a better position. It's not a lot of travel. It's usually within a few hours. It's in a region, in the Northern California region.
Yeah, but the very first thing that came through me very quickly was the first one. The ideal, well, when you said ask the question, was the one that was non-travel.
The one that was more local.
Yeah, but it does show that it could actually evolve into something more. It might not look that way, but it seems like there's more to it. Like it's like looking at the cards, and the cards are like saying there's something, there's more behind the scenes. There's more going on than you think, and it actually has a positive outcome, so that's what I see.
Huh.
Crazy, huh?
It seems like a lot's been going on for a lot of people in the last month, just astrologically behind the scenes. And now that there's the new moon in Aries, it seems like this is the time things are starting to finally move forward.
When is the new moon?
It was last night, and it was in Aries. And I'm Aries, as you know.
All right.
Today's my birthday.
There you go.
For all these Aries who have been sitting around, and you know right now there's five planets in Aries, so there's a lot of that warrior energy around too. People are really aggravating the crap out of one another too. It's like one of those moons and somebody says hello and somebody else says, what'd you mean by that?
Right.
It's like lighten up.
Heck yeah.
But, there's a lot of warrior, a lot of men beating on their chest right now, too. Have you noticed that?
Really?
Well, you're so mild-mannered, you probably didn't notice it. But it's like, you know, but I actually love it. It's been a long time since this much power has been sitting in my son's house. So, you know, I'm enjoying it, and I'm enjoying the power returning. So that's great. So I can understand why you got the three cards you did, that things are beginning to move.
Yeah, it's always a good thing.
Yeah. Well, thank you both so very, very much. And I hope you get a nice warm blanket and maybe a warm cup of tea in that weather you're having.
Oh, a lovely cup of tea. Sounds delightful.
There you go. Yeah, that
anyway,
go get some
keep
tea.
Up. Keep up the great work. So you're on 4 or 5 days. Can you tell us how many nights you're on or what you're doing?
Yes, we're actually on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday at 8 p.m. Mountain Time. We'll be on for 2 hours. So therefore, we'll also tell people if you want to come on the show with a topic of your own, you're more welcome to do that too as well. And we'll all consider having a good time about the situation because we like to keep it as fun as possible. At the same time, we're learning. I think we all learn quicker when we're having fun at it instead of just being so serious.
Well,
and maybe it's just,
I definitely want you to email me when you do a chakra clearing. That's one of the best shows you do. You're like a master at that.
Okay, thank
I
you.
I love that. So
yeah, I think we need to
let
go
me
the
know
chakras
and send me an email when you're doing that, and I'll certainly be on.
Okay.
That's one of the most powerful shows I think you do. That just benefits the world. Huh?
I know. I'm still going, hey, that's a little too much pressure. But, yeah. It's one of those situations where I get into the whole thing, you know? You know,
I have a birthday cake waiting for me. So I'm going to get going, but I can't thank you enough, and I'll be in touch with you. And thank you both very, very much, and have a great night.
Happy birthday.
Take a couple bites for me, too.
Thank you so much. Pardon me?
I said take a couple bites for me, too.
Oh, I'll have an extra slice for you.
There you go. Well, you know my birthday is this month, too, right?
Yeah, your birthday's coming up, right?
Yep. The 26th
of April. I'll have to take a look and see the dates. But this should be a great deal. This should be a great year for us. So have a wonderful night. And thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Good
night. Good night. Good night.
All right. Well, we have 7 minutes left.
We got one more caller. Hold
up. Okay.
There you go. 818 to the show. And how are you?
Hi, how are you guys?
Excellent.
We're doing good.
How are you? I'm wonderful. Now I was hoping I'd be able to get through, and oh my gosh, you're right. Everything happens for a reason.
There you go.
My name is Danielle, and I'm calling from Woodland Hills, California.
Woodland Hills, California. Yeah.
You know something about that fair, huh?
Yeah, there's actually some good places in California. Just because I have a tendency to, you know, have some kind of situation with L.A. and North Hollywood and Hayward. There's other places I haven't visited. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Gotcha. Cool beans. Yeah, I love it. I love it out here.
So, how can we help you tonight, huh?
Yes. I wanted to know, I see that there's past life readings, and I know that I had some serious gifts in some of my past lives, and I'd like to be able to remember and access them so that I can incorporate that into my work in this life to see, you know, if any of the past lives are affecting me now. But also, I was told that there was a negative energy around me, and I want to make sure that I got it off of me. I was cleansing and clearing, and I wanted to make sure that I got that off of me. And then also, if there's any messages from the Ascended Masters, my archangels, or my angels.
Okay. So which one you'll go first? I was sitting there focusing on the past life thing. I was like, the energy,
yeah.
You're talking about the negative energy that I got on the whole thing, which is something that's no longer existing. So it seemed like you did take care of that whole thing. It's just one of those things to maintain your cleansing and chakra clearing, is even aura cleansing. And the idea of always constantly keeping in touch with that center core, too, of that essence that we call the God essence and that kind of stuff. By just reminding yourself you are who you are. My thing is, I always say, I am love. We connect with the ideal source and the angels and God. But the past side that came up the most was the idea of, are you a person who likes to serve others in some, you know, in a powerful way?
Yeah, where I can teach people whatever it is that I know, or if I can help them through healing, or you know, being able to tell them information that would help them, that comes to me.
Mm-hmm.
Working with crystals with people. Yeah.
Well, the only what past life that's actually come up in the process of having this conversation is one in Egypt. And it's around the time of Cleopatra, because it actually keeps telling me that you were actually, as it's come to me, you were a psychic for her in the ideal situations. More likely, if that's the case, then more likely you were a high priestess and you were also an advisor. So the idea of what you're going through and the idea of the situation of the power of the whole thing and the idea of being in that kind of position is because the person that was actually you were with, she was a very powerful woman. But, you know, one thing I like to clarify with people, that, you know, Cleopatra was not a pretty woman. She was a pretty woman. She was a manly-looking,
but she
was very intelligent. Yeah, she was very intelligent. She was very, she had a big nose.
A big head.
Was just, but she was very intelligent. I think she knew, like, back in those days, to know, like, 7 or 8 languages or more, that was phenomenal. And the idea of her and the situations and that kind of stuff, you can also see if you have some kind of disappointment within yourself, they can actually be traced back to that time as well, as the idea of helping Cleopatra in the process of looking at a person who decided to do something on her own and looking at your own failure because you couldn't stop her from doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the idea of helping with that whole situation that now you have as we call it, a new lease on life, so therefore you can just look at the situation. There are no limitations. Because working with Cleopatra was also a situation of limitations. She would only allow you to do so much because she was also very independent, too, as well. And it's kind of amazing how relationships screw people up. You know, Cleopatra got with Caesar. Caesar wasn't really that good looking either. He was kind of homely, well. But a homely guy with leaves around his head. And the two of them thought they were going to be very powerful. Cleopatra was also looking for an alliance to actually propel her into something more, greatness. And then, we all know Caesar got pretty much taken out because of being too arrogant, as they call it. I call that karma coming back in the most phenomenal way. But I'm just saying, with those situations, that kind of stuff, and you had to deal with some. You also had to deal with some freaking woman who also was going through. It's like some people have a tendency to hook up with people in the process of, you know, basically furthering their careers and that kind of stuff. Or like prostitutes have a tendency to hook up with people because of power, too. And then the emotional part gets in the whole thing, yes. People like Cleopatra and prostitutes do fall in love, and then it kind of throws the whole freaking thing off where they have a tendency to do things and put themselves in harm's way, which harm has a tendency to take over and, as we see in those situations, like with, you know, finding prostitutes and dumpsters and Cleopatra and basically doing herself in. Never understood why she did what she did and what it accomplished. Because realistic, if you look in history, everybody knows who Cleopatra is, but it's also something that I would sit here and say is when she was trying to be with Caesar, she thought she was manipulating the whole situation, but realistically, she was being manipulated and controlled. So therefore, the situation was the same thing where the idea of committing, some people call committing suicide. I don't think it happened quite the way it's portrayed because of the thing that she's supposed to use. It's not the easiest thing to work with, I'm telling you. Even the idea of the success out of the whole thing, I think it was more about poisoning. But on No snakes, just poisoning. But he was also manipulated in all kinds of ways. And that's one of the reasons I felt like it was just a person just giving in and giving up.
Mm-hmm.
So nothing seemed to go her way, but she didn't realize the reason it wasn't going her way, because that was the wrong direction to go into in the first place. So here
right.
you are, her advisor, who's been trying to help her with the whole thing, and I said, anything, you probably have headaches on that one. You know? So if you've
yeah.
had these kind of situations with relationships, and you see everything the way it's supposed to be, and then having somebody who tries to manipulate you because of what they're trying to portray it to be,
right.
it would help you understand what was going on. So now you're in a situation in your life, you've done a lot of clearings and stuff, so don't underestimate yourself and how powerful you are at this time and what you can do and accomplish, because the power is just going to help put you in a position just to help more people.
Mm-hmm.
So do it.
Okay.
I'm just trying to sit there and look at the situation, because realistically I think I've answered all your questions in the process, because the message is most of the time I listen to everybody, so we have Ascended Masters and Archangels and just the Archangels and Ascended Masters alone, the ideal message is coming through. The past life was something that even as you were talking came to me very quickly. So
okay.
Take all those things to heart and really let them resonate with you. The process of realizing the only person who can stop you and stay in your own way is you.
Right.
So don't let that happen anymore, because, you know, one thing I'd say about that one, and then the ideal, it seems like it resonates with the rest of those too, is the ideal and not really taking the initiative,
mm-hmm.
which it seems like you've always been working with, and the ideal realizing, how powerful am I? When it was just something of self-realization that you already knew, but you were looking for someone to help justify that for you. And in the process of Cleopatra, she's a powerful woman who was supposed to do that for you,
mm-hmm.
and she failed miserably. But you also had to realize she portrayed herself as a very powerful person too as well, which was an illusion. That's why you didn't get it back in return. Because basically
mm-hmm.
she was, look at the situation like this with you being in a situation of giving very powerful advice to people. Just because someone doesn't accept it and utilize it doesn't make it less powerful. It just shows you how much the person has given their power away and they feel powerless, okay?
Okay. Okay. Got it. And then you said something about with me remembering how to remember what the gifts were, what I did, you know, to gain that knowledge so that I can continue it in this life. I didn't get a chance to fully mm-hmm. hear that part.
Oh, it's just
or
the idea of realizing how powerful you are.
Do.
Oh, the exercise you can do is the idea of chakra clearings. I call them chakra chants. It would actually work with you pretty well, because it's something you can actually utilize on the move.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So saying, you have some of those commercials. You ever seen this commercial? They sit there and go, "This is what you can do with your life." You did it, but they never really tell you anything, right? And I was going to go, "And if you send me $19.95, I'll give you the insights on everything you can do to change your life." Anyway,
that's the truth.
So,
oh my goodness. Okay,
the only difference is mine $39.95. But no. I think we should go ahead and give you the chant, because this is being recorded right now as we speak. It always gets recorded. It'd be great for people to go back in the archives and actually check out the chakra chanting itself and see how it works. So I've actually added a couple things to it in the idea of relaxation.
Uh-huh.
And it goes, we have the seven chakras. We actually have 12.
Right.
Okay, so when you look at the seven, we'll just focus on the seven for this purpose, okay? And
okay.
I think if you focus on the seven and clear yourself and the idea of connecting with your gifts, I think the other information will come to you how to deal and utilize those other chakras, okay? And basically
okay.
what it is we have seven chakras. I'm just going to give you the chant itself as I go through each chakra. The first one is the crown. Let's go to the bottom and go to the root chakra, which is ruby red. And the chant for that one is L-A-M. And it's pronounced LAM. So it's a chant. So what we'll do is we'll breathe in. And as we breathe out, we go LAM. And try to feel it through your root chakra. And at the same time, you're focusing on the chant itself and the chakra. Relax all the muscles in that area. And then you go to the sacral chakra, which is orange. And also the root chakra is charged with grounding, of course, but it's also the ideal security financially, spiritually, materialistically. And the idea of how you feel safe and you ground yourself, the more financial you can be. Okay? And that's the root chakra. The sacral chakra is the one in charge of appetites and desires. It's orange. And the chant for that one is Bam. It's spelled B-A-M. And
B as in boy?
Hold up. It's Vam. V-A-M.
Oh.
V as in
Victor.
V as in virgin.
Okay.
Okay. So it's saying that you pronounce it Vam and go through the sacral chakra as you breathe. Feel the vibration going through your sacral chakra. And also relax the muscles in that area as much as you can before you go into the third one, which is the solar plexus, which the tone for that one is Ram. R-A-M, Ram.
Mm-hmm.
The Ram, that's what the solar plexus, the one in charge of power and control. It's the one we all know. It's called, most people call it the butterflies. Or intuition or gut feeling. I always tell people when those freaking urges start kicking in, something's not right with the situation of the people around you. So your solar plexus is being disturbed because someone's not portraying themselves the way they should and being truthful. So listen to that one. Like I said before, that one's wrong. And also do the same thing too as well. You relax the muscles in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And then we move on after we've done the relaxation on the first three. And we go to the one that's actually tapping them all together, which is the heart chakra. The heart chakra, which is green, the tone for that one is Yam, Y-A-M, Yam. It's also the one that's in charge of love, relationships, and not just the romantic relationships. It's also all the relationships in your life and the idea of how you could actually deal with everybody in a loving, caring way. So you got that one. And relax all the muscles in that area. And there are a lot of muscles in that area, so take some more time with that one. And then you move on to your throat chakra, which is, most people say it's like robin eggs blue. And the tone for that one is Ham, H-A-M, Ham. Try to relax the muscles in that area, too. That's the one in charge of how we are able to speak our minds and also speak our heart. So then we go, after we've done the relaxation on that one, relaxing the muscles and doing our little chant, you know, go and hit the third eye chakra, which is between the eyebrows. I think it's like an indigo blue.
Mm-hmm.
And, some people say it's like a blue with a white tint and then have little sparkles in it. The idea of helping, you know, those people say when you really tap into the third eye chakra, you can also see the magic of life. And you can also see things. What they really are, seeing past the illusion. That one, everybody knows this one, it's easy, O-M, Om. It's Om. And again, as you're doing these chants, take them to the designated area. So when you breathe, feel yourself vibrating through your third eye. If you want to, you can use a visualization. Some people actually see the third eye itself in the process of maintaining it open. And then we move on to the crown chakra, which is purple, which has been said it's the highest vibration spiritually. That's why the one is connected to the higher self and guidance itself. That's why they say it's purple. It's vibrating at the highest vibration. It's also the one that you can actually see the most in our minds, too, that we know it's cleared because we start having doubts within ourselves. So what you do with that one, it's either silence, breathe in, and just breathe out and be as quiet as you can. To actually, it's like a practice. When you're still, you hear. You feel, you know, it's everything. It's guidance coming through in the purest form. Or there is a tone, it goes with it, called Aum, A-U-M. What you do is you will go through, what I do is, I'll sit here and do the chants like 3 or 4 times, each one of them. Or I'll go through them one at a time for 5 minutes. I'll go through them all, go back again. And then as I sit there and get finished, as I think I'm finished, I'll go over and basically assess them again. See if maybe I should work with a couple more, like I've done before where I've actually worked on my heart and my throat chakra, which is good because if you, with guidance and everything going on, to keep those two chakras really in balance with each other is the idea of what you, like with your senses, what you see, what you feel, what you know. You can actually interpret those through your heart, and you can also speak your mind through your throat chakra.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And if you, if you didn't catch it all, guys, just go back in the archives and listen to it all over again.
Right. I have a suggestion.
Okay.
Okay. Where you're concerned about the negative energy, it may be gone at the moment, but I get that you have a great deal of work to do here. And one thing that I've been experiencing is that light workers, healers, those people, myself included, tend to have that negative dark energy come into our space. So you get to work on protection. And one thing that you can do when you're in meditation, when you're clearing your chakras or you're polishing your chakras, visualize a light starting in your heart and expanding outside of your body. You fill up your entire body with the light and then expanding outside of your body and as a bubble around you. And let it be silver on the outside, like a mirror, okay? You visualize all of this so that any negativity will come and bounce off of it so that it doesn't attack you. But you can also just keep light around you.
Okay.
Yeah,
and
with the light working part too, right?
I would be more than happy to assist anybody in doing light work.
Okay. So you feel that I'm a light worker?
I just get that you have some important work to do here. I'm not sure if it's healing or guiding or teaching or now light. I'm a light worker, and I know that with that is healing. But that's only one form of healing. So there's many, many ways. So I'm not exactly sure, but I do know that you have a great purpose and that you get to have protection. So keep in tune, connect to Mother Earth, connect to Source, stick with meditation, clear your chakras, be in tune and be aware.
Be aware.
Okay. Do you have any more suggestions on how to stay in tune as well? Any exercises or anything?
Do you meditate?
Yes, and I'm starting to do it more because I had fallen off there for a minute, and I just cleared my space and I just cleared off my space, and I have an angel table and then my regular meditation table.
Excellent. Well, honey, if you can leave that space there so that any time, any moment, you're like, oh, my gosh, I only have 5 minutes, but I'm going to sit here and I'm going to be in tune. I meditate in a circle of crystals, and if I just have that space set up, I can go sit there for just a few minutes, and it is just so incredible. It really is. And once you get into that, there's times when a meditation might take an hour, just because that's where you're at. That's what it feels. That's just what you feel. You get to do in that moment, and
I've got just time because I'm not working right now. So in between. While the kids are at school during the day, like from 8:30 to 2 o'clock, I have where I can do this work.
Excellent. So I've got time. Well, if you, when you meditate, if you can visualize light coming from Source or God or the sun, however it works for you, coming into the top of your head, melting down over every cell of your body, down to your feet, through the bottom of your feet, into Mother Earth, connecting to the core, and then back up again through your body, through the top of your head, back up to source. That creates this beautiful connection. And if you can create that on a daily basis, jumping into your meditation space for just a few minutes will really refresh you that in that moment. Does that make sense? If you're doing it every day, and then here and there throughout the day, you just find that you need to have that connection, it'll help. So that's at just meditation on.
Okay, that's awesome. That's awesome. I gotta go in the archives later to re-get what you said for this one and where to go to go all the way down into the earth and then back up. I gotta get the details of that in the archives. But I'm just trying to scratch you guys' brains with ideas. I'm writing everything down, and then this is good for everybody else listening too.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. Well, I'm excited for you.
Thank you. Thank you. I've just been on a search, you know, trying to bring these gifts to the surface so that I can remember and then exercise on them and work on them and make them stronger. So I've been on a search trying to get, you know, some answers here. And you guys were so great. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Do you see any angels around me at all?
All the time.
Oh, honey, you have a plethora of angels around you.
That's just one of those situations that everybody does, and the more they become aware of those things, or we should say the more aware they become of these beings, not things, but things, it just enhances your life the more you connect.
Or more so. The Ascended Masters, because I understand that they're also known as the Lords of Karma, the Ascended Masters. So I've been wondering if there's any Ascended Masters that are working with me so that I can tune into them as well.
Yeah, sometimes you look at a situation and people don't realize that Jesus was also a master and also
Ascended
Master too as well. So when you said it, the first thing that came to my mind was the idea of teaching you through him himself and the idea of what he did with all the things he did, they were all done because of the love. And it's the idea of the same thing as you're doing. Sometimes we do have a tendency to get caught up in the world and the situation and go, well, I don't have certain things in my life, not realizing the more that you actually learn to love unconditionally yourself, you also have a tendency to set a resonation, you know, with your vibration rises automatically just by giving yourself gratitude, which makes it easier in the process of realizing all the things that brought you to that point of having that gratitude for yourself. You start looking at those things and being grateful for them too as well. So it's also a little chain reaction, right? So when you look at the situation, the more that you love, because you're talking about angels, the more you just learn to love anything and everyone and every situation, the more you're going to know, without even asking the question anymore, that you're surrounded completely with angels. I mean, with me, I've always seen... my friends always have. I have a friend of mine that was always having trouble with spirits and how they have a tendency to be very irritating and violating boundaries. But if you actually saw her life and how she has a tendency that people do the same, then you understand that some things have a tendency to reflect in person and in human form as they do in spirit. But as soon as they start setting boundaries with people in this lifetime, everything else has a tendency to follow. But it's also you have to realizing that when you love yourself, the reason you set those boundaries because it gives you the space to actually be able to be a good example to everybody else. If you're constantly sitting around going, my life sucks, people are going to look at the suck part instead of looking at you going, that's not a good example.
Right.
That's why we sit here and look at Jesus and say, okay, the biggest commandment ever, just love. Then we start realizing that everything... It's like we're talking about the money thing. People saying, I hate money. Well, don't expect to have it anytime soon because you hate it. You're sending energy, and the energy of hate pushes things away.
Right.
You look at yourself. If someone hates you, you don't want to be around them. So why would money want to be with you either? But with your situation, I always try to convey to everybody and say, you know something? I've been able to attract and manifest a lot of things in my apartment, situations, that kind of stuff. But it never didn't have nothing to do with money. It was just the opportunities, accepting those opportunities, and then everything else I needed to do with it, like the money, which is tools, to actually have those things came too as well. So it was just making a conscious decision, having faith in that, and just proceeding to go forward and expecting. See, they always say the biggest thing, and I saw this with Dr. Wayne Dreyer, the most important thing of manifesting is expectation. You know,
right.
The anticipation of expecting what you put out there. You're expecting it. You're sort of, ooh, I can't wait to have it. Not like most people do, going, okay, where the hell is it at? Not that kind of stuff.
Right. Right.
It's more the ideal going, ooh, I can just feel it, the idea, when I get this, I'm going to hug it and cherish it. And plus how it's, you know, kind of emphasize on how it's going to affect your life, all the positive traits and that kind of stuff, where you can actually see yourself living it. And then you're living it, you're seeing it, but else you got to put the, think about this. Every time something manifests, you get really happy that you've accomplished something or you're living something or you got a job. But it wasn't a vision. When you live it, you're feeling it. And that's what you got to emphasize the most on it. It's like a feeling, realization with the realization.
I like that.
Yeah.
Got it.
Those are the most, a bit more. Yeah. Also, I always tell people to focus. Like I see on The Secret, I agree with that too. So yeah, deals. You focus on something that's so phenomenal, something you really want, but you know for a fact by focusing on this incredible thing that if it happened, all you would do is put you in a state of mind of what else can I do? It changes your whole perception. So I always like set things up for yourself all the time. Okay, I got the boat. Okay, let's go and take it one step further and take that boat on a nice trip. And it's like realizing that when you get yourself in a state of being comfortable, life's over. Life is full of the journeys of expectation, seeing our intentions become reality, and all the whole thing. You know, I always tell people we're constantly sending intentions out there, but how are you doing your intentions? Are you conscious or unconscious of it? Because it's like the, we're talking about the ideal. When you're unconscious and you're sending intentions out there, sometimes we're too focused on the world, expecting the world to basically give us our manifestations and what we put out there, not realizing if we're focusing on that realm, then we're not going to probably get anything. We're focusing on what the world tells us that we want and need desire. Until, instead of stepping back spiritually and going, what do I really want, need, desire? What do I want? Not what the world tells me. Not what the fads and all the other things are going on and saying this and that and the other. It's the idea of stepping back and going, okay, what would you like in a man? Don't get caught in the freaking world that says he has to make this amount of money. He has to have this kind of car. That's materialistic. And it will also work against you because what you're going to do is you're probably going to find a guy who's basically focusing on himself, self-centered, has nothing to do with love. It's the idea of materialistic. But then again, isn't that what your intention to put out there? It brings him more frustration. You'll probably be sitting at home by yourself while he's working his ass off to supply all those little things to you. Then you go back and look at your list and going, no, yes, but the world said this is what I need. This is what I want. This is what I desire. No, I don't. I want a man who's actually in a situation in his life where when I need something like attention, he can just sit there and give me the attention because he's pretty much taking care of everything else, or else he's in a nice frame of mind that he's very comfortable with the situation and his life, that if he decides to take a little time off from his business to spend time with the person he's with and family, that kind of stuff, it all works in, like we said before, giving and receiving. He knows he's done his part in the idea of giving. Now he's opening up to receive because that's what he wants. He wants to be in a position. I mean, I've done that myself. That's my biggest goal in the idea of accomplishing all the things I do and paying everything up in advance and doing everything else so it gives me more time to experience and enjoy people and situations. But it seems like the more I focus on the service, focus on people, focus on the idea of loving and caring and giving and just doing all that kind of stuff, the cycle is all those other things, since I've got that balance here, keep popping in. The one thing I got to change now is the idea of perception of where I came from, where my mom says you should be comfortable with this, this, and this. And then realizing that when you start really giving and you really start living your life and the idea of what your life purpose is, you're going to get a lot more stuff coming into your life and the idea that you can actually get exactly what you want, need, desire. I just went through this lesson when the idea of buying a pair of tennis shoes for $72. I'm used to going to Walmart and buying the $25 ones, but I also realized I was going to Walmart about every month and a half. Now I got a pair of shoes, which I feel like are going to last me a long time, but I also started to get another different perception that if I buy more stuff, that I won't be wearing things out and replacing them as quick as either. Bulk.
Right.
I started realizing buying in bulk on the real reasons of buying 48 rolls of toilet paper was not the ideal of just having a bunch of stuff in my cabinets and feeling secure. It has nothing to do with that. It has the ideal that I can now take the energy that I used to go to the store and get it every week or every 2 weeks or whatever. I can actually utilize all this energy. This is what we call getting our power back. That we get our power to even the smallest little things and the idea that now we have more power to utilize and do what the things. I don't have to go to the freaking store every freaking week or 2 weeks. I can actually get up in bulk and have the kind of thing where I can actually go and decide what I want to do in the process of what I really want to do, you know? Now I got like 4 or 5 pairs of wear, you know? But also I noticed one thing too, that when I'm in the state of actually opening up and receiving all these things, not only does this stuff come along and the opportunity to do these, but when I bought the shoes, the day I actually ordered the shoes, I had a great day in my shop, an increase in prosperity, because I actually increased my own. Yeah.
Right. Oh,
I think
awesome.
We get to have a show on manifesting.
Mm-hmm. No
problem. That would be awesome, because you guys are phenomenal.
Thank you, honey. You are.
Thank you. That's what they always say. You're standing here in the midst of awesomeness. So that means you're a part of it, too.
Okay. Exactly. Looks like we have a spirit mirror. How beautiful.
Yeah.
So then would you guys say that my life purpose essential is to do some form of healing of people? Or would you say that my life purpose is something else or more to it than that?
I was thinking of the situation of being all the above. And the idea right now, what you need to focus on is your life purpose right this moment is to focus on you. Because all these other things that you have in your life right now as infractions, as you focus on yourself, you'll start realizing the awesome person you are. You also start realizing some of the decisions you've made that brought you to this point, that you actually want to change those and start looking at the situation. Of looking at, all the things that you always thought you had to do or you needed to do, you start realizing that one thing is life is a choice. So everything's a choice. You don't have to do anything you don't want to do. So then for the idea, you start realizing what free will is to choose. That's it. What happens afterwards as opportunities and situations that could be potential things that you could choose to do, you start realizing you have lots of choices. What are you going to do today? Even if it's just the ideal of staying home and don't do nothing. There is a sense in the idea of balance between being and doing. Is real. You know, when you listen to your guidance and there is guidance and things to do, that's the doing part. If you focus on your guidance, but you don't feel like there's anything to do, more than likely there's nothing to do but be and just enjoy that day. That's another thing I've been changing my perception on, too, as well. I'm sitting in the shop, and people come by and go, oh, so you're bored? No, actually, I'm just taking in the whole thing because I have that opportunity now with everything pretty much paid in advance in certain situations. I can be relaxed and enjoy every freaking minute of every day.
Right.
Before, it was only certain things you were constantly thinking on and doing, like bills and stuff. I learned a long time ago, when it comes to bill, those things are just reminders of debt. So I throw them away. Because most of the time when I paid them, I knew what they were. Most of those things are like, they come every freaking month anyway, so why do I need bills to remind me? and the less the bills sit there and reminded me, the easier it was to find a solution to pay them off. And actually, when I took the titles off everything and just said, you know, sometimes I'm going to focus, I'm not going to tally it, I'm not going to calculate, I'm just going to go, I did this one day, I had two bills, but I just said, today these bills are going to be paid off. And my freaking account had zero in it that morning. But by that night, those two bills were paid off. And they wasn't small ones either. One was actually $120, and the other one was about $30 or $40. So it wasn't small bills. It wasn't something like, you know, pay Netflix. They were big bills. But I sat there and said, you know something, it's like it doesn't matter the size. When you're manifesting, it's the same energy and the same faith. A lot of times we look at bigger things, and what the problem is getting the faith to realize we can manifest anything we want just by the idea of putting the intentions out there. Thoughts become things. That's the idea, the whole thing about the secret, but it's a fact that scientists have actually proven it has a frequency. So it does have power behind it. And the same thing with us. See, the one thing I always tell people, the reason it's so crucially important to love oneself is because we utilize that energy to attract things and manifest things in our lives. So if you don't like yourself, that's why you're not attracting anything positive.
You'll attract all the yuck and the problems and the drama and the, yes. So
that's what that last relationship was. Yuck. Anyway.
One thing that I know is that when you meditate and you go into that space, honey, you will get answers. And you will get clarity. Let me say that. So what Donnie is telling you, you'll get clarity on that information. And you can go from there with it.
Okay.
That's the first thing I said when you said that, too. That was the very first thing that came to me when you said, you know, what part of my life purpose. And the first thing that came to me was you have to start off with the life purpose of focusing on you right now so that everything else will come very clear to you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Because, see, the one thing that I have not achieved yet that I'm working on is with the meditating, receiving the messages. That's the one thing that I still haven't achieved yet. And so I'm trying to, you know, figure out ways or techniques to so that I can receive the messages and acknowledge it.
Well, line upon line, precept upon precept, I'm sure you've heard that before. You learn a little bit at a time. Each meditation you participate in, you'll learn how to connect, and then you'll learn perhaps how to do light work. And the deeper you go into your meditations, it can get so amazing and incredible. I'm all giddy right now just thinking about it. I want to go meditate right now. But once you get into that space, it's kind of like doing yoga at first. You see these women who are, you know, they're on their forearms, but their bodies are way up. You know, they're like doing handstands. It's like, oh my gosh, how are you doing this? But it's line upon line. They didn't do that right away. They slowly learned and trained their body. So you're going to teach your ego, let's say, to be quiet and go away. It is not the time or place for the ego. And you will learn to tune into spirit and to source, and you'll begin to hear messages and you'll be able to tell what is what. So it's okay. It's you're exercising, you're learning, you're growing, and with each meditation it will get stronger and stronger and more incredible, and you are just going to have so much fun with it.
I'm excited. I am beyond excited. I eat, sleep, and breathe this outside of my family. Literally.
That's the most challenging parts of the situation is family. I always sit there and say, well, what we think you should do, and it's enough to get, it's the point to get to the point of having the strength to look at yourself and say, okay, this is being, I mean, anything and anyone who tells you what you should be doing with your life besides your angels and your guides and God and the people that are actually out for your best interest.
Right.
It's also, so when your family comes in and says, this is what we think you should do, well, good for you. You keep thinking that because as I'm sitting here focusing on the situation, what I'm going to do is I'm going to make a decision of what I think is good for me.
Right.
Okay, and then from that point on, you can do whatever you want to do. But sometimes when it comes to family, there's always that one thing that can drive you so freaking crazy. And it's the one thing. Yeah, because I've had the same thing in my family of sitting there talking to them about certain things. Even the strangest things that they've actually taught us but they have a tendency to go and contradict. You know, I had my mom came to my house one time. I had a woman live with me, and she freaked out. And I said, well, from what I understand, you told me when I got my own place, my own thing, my own situation, I could, it's my rules, I can pretty much say and dictate what I'm going to do. But now you're telling me differently. So I said, it's right in the face, and I said, okay, this is the way it's working. If you don't like it, you can leave.
Right.
Because she said, well, that's disrespectful. I said, yes, it is. And so why are you being so disrespectful to me in my house?
In my house.
She goes, well, who taught you that? She said, who taught you that? I said, you did. And she was like, okay. And she, you know, I've never seen my mom speechless.
Looking flabbergasted.
Yeah, it was really freaky. And she was like, I told her. I mean, it's one of those things, you look at her and say, I don't want you to leave.
Right.
But you have to, you know, you're telling, yeah. But you're being disrespectful right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I have been through the same
thing. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I said I had been through the same thing with my mom, and it's so funny. Like, you're the one that taught me this.
And now you're trying to tell me I'm wrong? And that's confusing. That's the most confusing part back, because they're saying you're wrong. And realistic at that moment, they're saying they were wrong.
Right.
So you're confused. Yeah, so what are you confused for? Oh, I can't figure. Why am I confused? It's a road, you know? So we were trying to put it all in perspective for everybody and say this is the way it goes. This is what's up.
Right.
But what I'm saying, but, you know, they come to me all the time, and we were talking about this before. What's the difference between religion and spirituality? My answer was prejudice.
Right.
People who have a tendency to go back beyond religious or religion are telling you right off the bat, they don't know who you are. You know,
right.
Of course, you know, we can do the psychic thing and say, well, I know who you are and that kind of stuff. But at least we have the respect. Until you ask us, we don't push it. We don't say anything. We don't do nothing. But they don't come up to us and say, do you mind if I talk to you? They come up to you and say, would you like? And I guess I could be like permission in their minds, but I'm just saying the prejudice is there. People who fear things is prejudice. Well, I have a tough time with the idea when Christians say you should fear God. That throws me off. I think I think they use the wrong word. I think it's the idea of respect and the idea of, if it's, when we look at the situation of a God who was actually created and pretty much everything in your life. I have this tough time with my mom. I said, Mom, you know something? You don't owe nothing. She goes, what do you mean I don't owe nothing? I'm my ass off of this shit. I'm sitting there going, and you are a Christian who tells me that God supplies everything, but you won't honor him and give him the freaking respect and being grateful for what he's given you?
That's right.
You worked your ass off for it? If you wouldn't have that freaking job and the opportunities and the situations to obtain those goals, where do you think they came from? That's why I always tell everybody, money, person, condition, none of those are my support. It goes a whole lot higher than that. It's the idea of identity, source, and those kind of things. But people always sit there and focus. And I think when we look at the situations of suicides and people killing themselves because of their jobs or going back and killing other people because of their jobs. See, they have an imbalance in their lives and saying that job was their life, which means they gave their power away to everybody and everything, including that job. That's why they felt so powerless, right? Because they had no power, because they'd given it away intentionally. You know?
Right.
So therefore, when we look at people and we do the manifestation thing, the first thing we try to do is to sit there and show them they have to take the power back before they can actually have the power to utilize it to actually manifest things in their lives.
Right.
So, you know, it's a process. That's why we were sitting there talking before. Like, you have a 3 90-minute sessions for $100. Give somebody a chance if they want to do it in 3 sessions. But okay. On the other hand, I thought maybe we should try it down because some people have a tendency to deal with things a little bit, you know, more shorter time, like 30 minutes. So we came up with the 30-minute sessions for $100. But it's like looking at people going, people kind of have a tendency to look at the situation and say, why are you charging money for things? I said, okay, you're a plumber. I want you to go down and fix my pipe for free.
Right.
The ideal exchange. And right now, the easiest exchange that we can do is the ideal money. But that's the point.
Right.
It's a tool for exchanging to obtain. Because that's what we do a technique, too, with people. We say, well, I want you to take a $5 bill. I want you to film the table. I want you to sit there and watch it. Mm-hmm. And you won't see it do anything until you pick it up and direct what it's going to do, what direction it's going to go into, and how it's actually going to help you obtain something that you want for $5 or $4.95. Those things. But there's also an ancient technique that you can actually impress your subconscious mind on the $5 bill and ask it, which basically what you're doing is you're asking your subconscious mind, why do I have a tough time obtaining this money?
Oh,
how come I can't obtain more? How can I obtain more of you? Okay, it's buried in your subconscious mind. It's some kind of blockage. And right at that moment, by using this technique, you can actually find that blockage and let it go.
Oh, my goodness. I got to find that out.
There you go.
Oh, I really find that out.
I'm just saying, sweetie, with me, I found out that it was perception.
Okay.
Perception was the thing where some people have a tendency to change their lives, start making a lot of money, and since they didn't deal with that subconscious mind that was suppressing certain things in the first place, it's like a trap door. You'll hit a certain kind of thing where you feel like, for example, if you start making more money than your parents, or you make more money than your spouse, those are fears that are kicking in that would have been implanted in your mind when you was a child that you don't do those kind of things. They're disrespectful.
Right.
So you have to change those things and realizing whoever told you that was always, they're not to blame. But it's the idea sometimes if you trace it back to who told you those things, you can have that visualization of having a different conversation where you change the whole format of what they're actually telling you to exceed. There is no limitations and change the whole outcome, which actually changes your perception at that moment too, realizing since I made a different choice then, I can do things differently now. And then you do. Simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, I think we just did a show on manifestation. Anyway.
I know, right? Very informative.
Yeah, so I was like, you know, you do the whole thing of clearing those minds and realizing that everything that's either holding you or propelling you is within yourself. It's that subconscious mind. So there's the four. That's what they're focusing on you by looking within yourself. Focus on those things and you'll find the solution.
Right. Got it. Oh, my goodness. This was so powerful. I'm so glad that I'm a part of this.
Oh, you're welcome.
You guys are
amazing.
We're
glad you're part of the team.
So much.
Right.
Is she still around? Still there?
I'm here.
Oh,
I'm taking it all in.
Or else she's just wrapping herself around that blanket.
Oh, yes.
Isn't it kind of great that we can actually do this kind of radio show and be comfortable? And actually, the more comfortable we are, the more we can actually convey to everybody else how to do the same thing with their own lives, where they can just do something like this too as well.
Right.
I'm sorry. I'm excited that I'm comfy.
Okay. Comfy's good.
Oh, yes. It's a lovely night. Now it's time for some chamomile tea.
Ooh, that sounds good. I had to pull over because I was driving. I was driving home because, I was clearing my chakras and things at the park. And so I was driving home. I had to pull over for this. So I'm sitting outside of the complex completely on the sidewalk in my car.
Oh, wow.
The whole time. Perfectly comfortable.
Awesome. Awesome.
That was a good thing, right?
Oh, my gosh. Are you by the beach?
No.
Oh.
I'm over the hill. I'm in the San Fernando Valley. But Malibu is close, but it's over the hill. I can't see it from here.
Oh, my gosh. I would love to meditate on the beach. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh,
I haven't done it yet. I'm going to have to do that.
Oh, it would be so much fun with the energy of the ocean right there. Oh, yeah.
It would be a kick, huh?
Well, that's on my bucket list.
Well, come on out, you guys.
I would love
you to. You have a place to stay.
Awesome.
Do you guys have a website so that I can go to? Because then I can sign up and then put my email and stuff too.
Oh, yeah, you can go to my website. It's www.psychicxjourneyman, capital X.
Okay.
.com.
Okay. X-Journeyman. Got it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm going to go to the website.
We got a bunch of reading, you know, services and stuff on there and that kind of stuff. And you'll see how much they are originally.
Okay.
But like I said, if you're listening to the show and you want to take advantage of the 5 or the 3, you get that discount because you're listening to the show.
Okay. Yeah, because when you mentioned that before, I was like, that would be really awesome. I would love to do that. I'm currently on Social Security. Disability, so my Social Security comes towards the beginning of the month, so I would like to plan to schedule that for the beginning of next month for May, because that sounds
no
really
problem.
Awesome, and just to do those sessions throughout the month.
Mm-hmm.
That would be great.
Yeah, because it's one of the situations I always tell everybody, too, with the sessions and the kind of thing, you know, you usually plan them out the way you feel with your comfort zone and that kind of stuff like that as well. So, you know, if you want to take one of them, one, you could actually do all 5 of them in 1 week if you wanted to.
Oh, wow.
If you don't want to, you can also space them out, whichever is convenient
right.
for you.
Okay.
Also, the situations of people and their budgets and all kinds of stuff. We always sit here and say, you know something, really tally up what you actually can do and then come to us. I'm pretty sure we could work with anything.
Okay.
Does make it easier for you too as well to sit there and say, okay, in case, because some people have gone there and they say, okay, I don't have $100, but I got $95, and they think, okay, I guess, well, since it's $100, I can't have it. I say, no, call me and tell me what you
right.
have. As long as you have a way to pay for it, because we have PayPal, and we have all the things where you can just, and even on my PayPal, I always tell people, go to the donation part. You can use, you can, if you have a PayPal, great. If you don't, as long as you have a credit card or debit. Debit card, you can pay for the whole thing.
Okay, perfect. But shoot, with you, I don't see how a person can do all those sessions in 1 week with you, because you've got so much information and you're so knowledgeable. They would I could see them after each session have to, you know, do the work and break it down and, you know, and go through it first before they just call back for the next one right away. To be able to process it and learn from it, you know?
Oh, yeah. That's what we always
you're powerful.
Too. That's what I'm just trying to tell everybody. It's like, you know, it's one of those things if you want to do it once a week, that's great, too. And once you pay for it, it's up to you how you're going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You just tell me what you want to do, and then, or like you said, if you want to call before you want to do the sessions, each time you want to do one, and you just do it.
Right.
We work with you because we want you to learn this stuff so you can utilize it, so therefore you can be as powerful as I am. Because if you can see me, you can see the potential that you can become.
See, and that's where I want to get to. So serious about it. Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you guys so much. I really, really appreciate it. This is like the best show I've listened to on Blog Talk, period. And I've been listening for about a year now. Really
thank you
thank you guys so much, and it was so helpful.
You're welcome.
Thank you for all the tools and the guidance.
Well, we gotta get going, so I gotta take a nap.
A nap. Oh
yeah, I guess. Actually, after I do shows, I go take a walk.
Oh my goodness.
You're going to put some new Kenny runners on and hike the incline.
I'm so
good.
Exhausted.
So,
At this point, I'm just going to fall out the car and roll into the house.
There you go. You have a great day. Yeah.
You guys have a wonderful night. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
And I'm going to follow this show, too.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
Bye-bye.
Namaste.
Good night.
Namaste.
Oh, I just want to go jump in my circle.
Oh, really?
Yes, I do, actually. I'm very excited. And very tired.
Oh, really?
Yes. It is 11 o'clock.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Oh, you did.
Oh, yeah.
So, shall we wrap it up?
Yes, we're going to wrap it up and get back out of here and talk to everybody. We'll be back here again tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Mountain Time, so join us. We'll be on here for another 2 hours. So if you didn't get on the day, or you're just listening in, decided you want to get a question but didn't get in time, just join us tomorrow night. We'll also be here Friday and Saturday and Sunday, 8 p.m. Mountain Time as well. So therefore, got plenty of times and that kind of stuff like that. So if you want to experience another powerful show, please do. On that situation, like I always say after each show, is may God and angels bless you every minute of every day and give love where love is given. And we'll talk to you all later. Have a good night. If I can find...